United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here in the afternoon. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy here on WSOM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and I hope you're having a wonderful Friday. It's warm outside.
Wonderful.
Your mic's not up there. The button. It's warm outside for a minute. It's like 40. I still have a coat on, but it's like 40 degrees, and I'm thankful to God that we got it there right there. I'm happy with that right there. The sun is shining, and so it's going to be warm tomorrow, so I'm just grateful. And so I hope you guys are having a good day and having a great lunch today. And I know we usually do open mic on Fridays, but I had the opportunity to get Rabbi Jonathan Kahn back on. And he is the author of The Harbinger. And, you know, he was on right before the end of the year, around the holidays, right before then, and he was so impactful, and he asked, and we made it to where he could come back on again and hang out with me just a little while longer. Jeff is in studio with me, Rabbi Kahn is on the phone, and then at the bottom of the hour, I have Gwendolyn Morton, and she's going to call in, and we're going to talk about eschatology for about a half an hour. And then Larry and Bob are going to come in, Jeff and I, and then we're going to have the open mic, and we're going to fight about everything else that's been going on in the world today. But since I got Rabbi Kahn, I told him I'd even come in on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, light up the fires and start the show all over again just because I can get him. Rabbi Kahn, how are you?
Great, Tracy. Great to be with you.
It is good to have you with us. How is everything? And what is new and what's going on? And tell us a little bit about the Harbinger book again for the people that may not know who you are.
Yeah, sure. Well, everything's been amazing. The Harbinger's going forth. You know, it's something like 60 weeks in the New York Times. It just keeps spreading. And it's now reaching Congress. The members of Congress are reading it. We've gotten things from senators and congressmen reading The Harbinger. So it's been amazing. It just keeps spreading and spreading. So The Harbinger is the revealing. It reveals an ancient mystery that lies behind everything that's happening from 9/11 to the collapse of the American economy. I mean, to everything that's really the biggest things that have happened in the last 10 years. There's an ancient mystery in the Bible that's behind it. And it's so precise or specific that it actually foretells what American leaders do and say before they say them, even the exact words. It gives exact dates and even down to the hours of when things happen, from even the collapse of Wall Street. I mean, in ancient mysteries from the Bible. So it ultimately goes back to the last days of ancient Israel before it was destroyed and judged. And what happened was these nine harbingers or prophetic signs or warnings of national judgments are appearing in the land of Israel. And the people of Israel, they defy it, or they reject it. And what happens is the judgment comes and they're destroyed. So now here's the scary thing, is that these same nine harbingers of judgment are now reappearing, now replaying on American soil. And some have appeared in New York City, near where I am. Some have appeared in Washington, D.C. Some have involved American leaders. The mystery even goes to the White House itself. And the thing is, the ultimate thing is God sending a warning to America? Is America in danger of judgment? And the thing about the Harbinger is that it's, even since it came out, it's been coming true. So it's been amazing. I don't take credit for it. I could say stumble on it, but I believe the Lord just led me to see it, and that's why I think it's spreading so fast across America.
Now, when you say that, because when I'm looking at the newspaper, and I'm looking at Syria, and I'm looking at North Korea, and I'm looking at the Middle East, and I'm looking at the economy, and I'm looking at, all these things, are these warning signs, or is this judgment upon us? When I look at same-sex marriage,
yeah,
and where we are with this right now, look at the season. I mean, look at the men becoming lovers of themselves instead of lovers of God. I mean, where are we? What's going on? I mean, this is 13 years now from 9/11?
Yeah. Well, heading on 12. Yeah, it's since 9/11. I mean, what happened there's an exact pattern of judgment or progression. And with ancient Israel, what happened is, the first warning strike comes in this, the strike on the land, this attack, and then there's like there's a let up, and the harbingers begin appearing, but then the nation's either going to come close to God, or it's going to either return to God, or it's going to keep on going and be judged. Well, with Israel, ancient Israel, they went away and they were judged. They were actually wiped off the face of the earth. With America, since 9/11, we haven't grown closer to God. It looked like first there was going to be revival. People were flocking to churches for about 3 weeks, and that was over because there was no repentance. There was no change. And so what's happened since then is we've gotten much farther from God, and it's exactly what you said. And the progression is that with Israel, when they didn't heed the first warning, there came a second shaking and a third shaking. And that within the harbinger, the second shaking is the collapse of the American economy, which is also geared to these ancient mysteries. And we are in it right now. So we are, you could say, we're in the progression of judgment, and it is one thing after the other. We've never really gotten out of the shadow, and so it keeps going. I mean, the final or the biggest thing has not come yet, but these are warnings to avoid that, but they keep, we are in the season. When you talk about, for instance, gay marriage, I mean, America is going so rapidly away from the ways of God, clearly. I mean, this past year, 2012, and now into where we are, it's been like a tipping point, because for the first time, most Americans are now for the ending of the biblical definition of marriage. I mean, several things are happening rapidly. Right now, there's a case of the Supreme Court which could overturn the entire thing, which will really, in the end, lead to the persecution of believers. So it's happening rapidly. And I think it's not an accident. The Harbinger came out the same year of 2012, which again was this tipping point, I believe, because it's a warning, and the warning comes before judgment comes. You mentioned North Korea. Well, whether it happens that way or another way, the fact that you have a nation threatening to nuke America, I mean, that, it's scary things, and just shows you how something can happen. So we are in, we're in an exact progression. The Harbinger is revealing that we're in this is really a precise progression of warning and judgment, and we, it's calling us to turn our course so that we aren't judged, we aren't destroyed, we don't fall. But that's a big if.
Now I got to ask you this, and Jeff, my co-host, is in here, and his mic is up live. Is this about God's people, or is this about America at large? Because I'm looking at the people who say that they are called by God's name being utterly silent. Not the world. I expect the world to do what the world does. But the people who say that they are believers of the Judeo-Christian values of God through Jesus Christ, they're awfully quiet. I mean, you would think that we would be rallying in the streets because it's coming to destroy us and to take away our ability to witness.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. It involves both. I mean, on one hand, it involves America in that, you know, yes, we expect it to be what it is in a sense, you know, the unsaved to do the unsaved, but it's worse than ever. I mean, it's rapidly. I mean, they're doing, you know, the secular America is doing things they never would have done before, you know. So that's one thing. But the other thing is, you're absolutely right, it's God's people. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I will heal their land. So, you know, the thing is that if we were being, you know, we're called to be the salt of the earth. If we were being the salt of the earth we were supposed to be, it could never be as decayed because that's what salt prevents. We're the light of the world. So if we were being that light, it could never be as dark as it is. And that's what's happening. You know, you said, well, the people should be in the streets or that you expect that. Well, yeah, a number of years ago, they would have been. A number of years ago, people were shocked by what's happening, and they would be protesting all over the place. In fact, even unsaved people would be, and that's what happened. But it's gone so, the moral decay and the descent has gone so far that now even, you know, what would have shocked even non-believers back then is not even shocking believers. And believers are being kind of desensitized and being put into this thing where, you know, hey, you don't speak. If you speak, we're going to shout you down. We're going to accuse you of hate speech. And so what's happening is believers are being silenced. And there's very, you know, relatively very few Christian leaders who are speaking up because everybody's afraid. And the problem is, if, you know, we don't, it's going to keep going.
But now that we look at what's going on, you wrote this book. And you can buy it anywhere. Barnes and Noble, you can go to Amazon.com.
Walmart, the Harbingers,
anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere.
You can find this book. There's a DVD that goes with it. Am I correct?
Yeah. The DVD is called the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment. And that is where people can actually see the Harbingers. It's two discs. It's a powerful, like a video. We didn't do it. World on Daily did it. But it's powerful. It's the number one faith video in the world right now, and it's the Isaiah 9:10 judgment. That's in also Walmart, Amazon, where the Harbinger is as well. Yes, they just came out with another one, which is called a book, which is for people to get deeper because people want to do Bible studies and get deeper into the mysteries of the Harbinger all over. It's happening. So they came out with the Harbinger Companion, which is you know, the pictures, Bible study, getting deeper into the whole thing, and that is also at Amazon and Walmart. So that's all there. Yeah, they just came out.
And for those of you who may not be real religious or spiritual or believers or anything like that, you know, it rains on everyone. When it rains, everyone gets wet.
Yes.
So no matter whether you believe it or not, when 9/11 happened, we were all affected.
Mm-hmm.
When the financial demise came along, we were all affected.
Yes.
So we have to realize that even if you do all the right things and you're a good person and you don't go for all this, that doesn't mean you will not be affected by whatever happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and it works both ways, yeah, because it says that, you know, Jesus said when it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So, absolutely. Yeah, this is, I mean, the Harbinger is like a double message, and that is, or a double kind of trumpet sound to believer and unbeliever. I mean, it's you know, it's equally, because, and it's actually, you know, a lot of people who are reading it are not believers now. I mean, when they pick it up, because, you know, it's affecting, I mean, what we're talking about, you know, is there this ancient mystery that's actually replaying before our eyes that affects our finances, affects the political realm, affects our future, every one of us, every American, is God warning, because that is the ultimate thing. So, yes, it affects everyone, and ultimately, of course, there's the issue of salvation, which is the final issue. And, you know, people are saying, you know, how can I be safe? Well, ultimately, the Harbinger gives the answer, the salvation, the word in Hebrew for safety. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to build a bomb shelter, but the word for safety is Yeshua. And Yeshua is the same as the name of Jesus. So safety is in him, no matter whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim, whether you're an atheist. I was an atheist before I became a believer. You know, so, yes, the Harbinger is for everybody. The warning and the call is for everyone.
Okay, let's go back to that last statement that you made. You said that you were an atheist before you became a believer. Tell us a little bit about that, because you went from atheist to believer to harbinger. That's a long,
atheist, believer, harbinger.
That's a leap.
I'm Jewish, you know, by birth, and I went to the synagogue and all that, but I became an atheist when I was 8 years old. And I said, wait a minute, you know, I don't see, where's God? I don't see him in people's lives, you know. I heard about the God of the Bible, and he was alive, and he was moving and talking and speaking, but I don't see that here. So I became an atheist until I was about 12 or 13, where I said, you know, atheism doesn't work. You know, there's got to be something more, there's got to be something behind this. And so I questioned it, and so I started... You know, I started seeking, you know, to everything I could to read books about, you know, religion and science and everything, the occult, I mean, UFOs, everything. And one day I picked up a book, I thought it was a UFO book. It was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, which was the book about how everything in the Bible is coming true. I mean, what the Bible said in the last days before the second coming is coming true. Israel back in the world, you know, Jerusalem back, and the world focusing on the Middle East and all this stuff is all in the Bible. So I said, wow. So I started in my head believing, and I was even telling my friends about it. And I wasn't a believer. I wasn't born again, but I'm telling my friends about it, and I'm leading them to the Lord. They're getting saved. So I said, you know what, I got to get right with God, but I didn't want to get right with God, because I thought if you come to God, you basically, you know, become a monk, you join a monastery, and that's the end of your life. And so I said, you know, God, I'll make a deal with you. If you give me a long life, I'll accept you when I'm on my deathbed. And so what happened was I made the deal, and then right after making that deal, I almost got killed. You know, and the first time it was a car accident, it was a miracle I didn't get killed. Second time I'm in a Ford Pinto, I'm crossing, I'm heading to a train track at night. What was it?
Yeah. First
mistake was
the Pinto.
Yeah. Pintos would blow up just by touching them. But, you know, but I'm crossing a train, I'm going to a train track at night, and the other cars are crossing, but I see a light going on, so I think, well, maybe it's broken, but let me check. So I'm moving forward, I look, and I see a light, and the light didn't look like it was moving, because it was the train, but the train was coming head on. I was right on the track. I didn't even realize it. So I'm waiting, and I said, well, you know, maybe I'm, just to be safe, let me try to back up. But now there are headlights in back of me. And so I backed up just maybe, I don't know, a foot or so or two. But the thing is that I thought I was fine. I'm waiting in the path of the train. The train comes, and it plows into the Ford Pinto. And the Pinto goes up like aluminum foil. And I just, the only thing I could do at that moment was call out to God. And so I call out to God as the car is going up, and the car is destroyed, and I didn't get a scratch.
Wow.
Look at
so I said, all right, God, you know, can we renegotiate that deal I made? Let's talk. You know, and it was like the second time I was almost killed, and I realized it was just a matter of really inches, and I would have been killed, and that was eternity. So I said, okay, Lord, new deal. I'm going to accept you. I'm gonna, when I turn 20, that's the new deal. So on my 20th birthday, and it was kind of like my man whose contract had ran out, you know, and I went up a mountain. I didn't know how to do this. Nobody was leading me to the Lord. I went up this mountain. I kneeled down on this rock on top of a mountain, and I gave my life to the Lord, and that's how I came to the Lord.
Now, Rabbi, that's a great story.
Great
story.
Yeah, it says that Jewish people require signs. You know, well, I required a locomotive train.
It worked.
I thank God for that train to this day.
I do too, because you're a blessing to me.
Well, thank
now,
you.
My God.
I had no idea, and I this is how I expected that everyone of Jewish descent, if you were Jewish, you automatically, you know, believe. Had a belief in El Shaddai. You had, you know, you automatically believed in God. How could you go through all of these rituals and, you know, Passover and, Yom Kippur and take off from work and close
Hanukkah.
Your business and Hanukkah and all the kind of, you do all that. You go on Saturday and I expect for all Jews to believe in God. And not too long ago, I bet you it hasn't been 20 years, I found out that all Jews don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing to me.
Yeah. And the reason is, you know, the Jewish people kind of brought them, I mean, it was through them the knowledge of God came to the world. He used them. And they're, again, you know, they bring God into the world. They brought, you know, Jesus came through them, and he's coming back again through Israel. So they're meant to be spreading the word of God and the gospel. They're meant for it. But, you know, the enemy knows that. And so, you know, he knows that when they come back to Messiah, the enemy's finished. So, you know, the age is finished. So the enemy's done everything he could to keep them from God. So he'll try that. So most Jewish people, you know, they know they're Jewish, but, you know, it's like anything. We're growing up Catholic. You know, they don't really know the Bible. You know, they wrote it. I mean, through God gave it to them, but they don't know it. You know, a little note on that. When I went up that mountain, and well, actually when I came down, when I looked on the floor of the top of the mountain, and it was a strange thing that was on that mountain. There was a graffiti, and it said, "No Jew shall enter these sacred grounds." And I said,
wow.
"What? What is that? You know, what are these Nazis? I mean, who's on top of this mountain? Who wrote that?" And I found out years later that that mountain was dedicated to Satan, and there were literally witches that would meet on the top of that mountain. I had no idea. And the place where I kneeled down on this rock, it was the altar. And so I said, "Wow!"
Oh,
you know, it was like dramatic, and it was like the enemy saying, "No Jew shall enter the grounds of coming to Messiah," and he's been trying to stop the Jewish people from coming back to Jesus for 2,000 years. That's why he had them persecuted in Jesus' name and hated in Jesus' name, all that, so they wouldn't come back. You know, but now, you know, when I saw the words, I realized that, I said, "Too late, Satan! I'm back." And after 2,000 years, the Jewish people are now coming back to the land, and they're now coming back to Messiah.
That's fantastic!
Isn't that
absolutely
amazing?
Rabbi Kahn, I was going to say this. I've seen you on several Christian broadcasts as well as the secular broadcasts that you've been on. In fact, every time I hear your name light up, I find it and go to it. And I've appreciated your teachings over these so many years here in the last at least 3 years that I can say.
Mm.
But I'm saying this. You're saying that a lot of the Christians are getting it, but they're still remaining silent, or they're really not seeing the urgency of this particular warning?
Well, I think in general, it's a good question. In general, what's happening to Christians? It's almost like we're in the last few years, and what's happening in America is almost transitioning to a persecuted people. One, because of what's happening with the culture, and two, because Christians eventually are accepting it. You know, that, hey, we can't say anything. We can't, you know, if we say this from the Bible, we're going to be persecuted. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So they don't say anything. There's very few. You look at Christian leaders, very few of them are standing up and saying, "Hey, this is wrong," because they're afraid. You know, they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be taken off the air, all this stuff. You know, and the problem is that's helping it to happen. Now, with a harbinger, I mean, we're getting a tremendous response, you know. So, you know, there's movements of prayer happening, movements of intercession happening, and there's a call to be bold, because, you know, when the dark gets darker, the light has got to get brighter. That's the whole point. You know, we can't get darker. We got to get brighter.
Right.
And, you know, it's like in the first century, there was persecution, but the apostles were bright. They were shining. And so it's a call to become great. So these are the days that either break us or make us. If we stand, we'll become stronger than ever. You know, but we got to be willing to do that no matter what the cost. Stand for God. You know, and the harbinger is calling that. The harbinger, I just got it, you know, like just recently I was, you know, with Mike Huckabee, you know, interviewed me, and he was, you know, Mike Huckabee has gotten he's read the Harbinger, he's giving it out to everybody. We just heard Newt Gingrich, you know, got that. So there are major leaders getting it. We don't know if it's gone to the White House yet, but we know it's going through Congress. I've actually been called to go to Congress to speak. There's going to be a gathering just for members of Congress in spring, and I've been called to speak there. So, you know, we got to pray. I mean, God is opening the doors. He's making this word go forth. The alarm's sounding. The question is, let him who has ears to hear.
I want to thank you for the boldness that you took at the inaugural breakfast.
Oh, thank you. Well,
yeah.
I watched it. I was not there personally, but I had an opportunity to watch it. And I want to thank you, because where you talk about it takes a lot to go against the grain. And I don't think people recognize what it means to stand on a public platform and give a truth that's not popular.
Yeah, well,
and you,
well, yeah.
You did. You did.
Well,
and
thank
you,
Tracy.
You stood there, and you allowed the Spirit of God to use you to deliver a word to the people and the world about we need to repent and stand firm on Judeo-Christian practices of this land. And I have to applaud you that you gave the yes sign unto God to use you and that you would not be afraid of the repercussions.
Well, thank you, Trace. Yeah, it's, well, you know what, I knew it was the Lord. I mean, I knew he was opening the door. And, you know, to be able to speak at the presidential prayer breakfast on the day of the inauguration in Washington, and, you know, they gave me, you know, the whole thing, the keynote to do it, and I asked, you know, I said, well, what am I, you know, what is this going to be? And they said, well, you can speak about the Harbinger. So I knew this was a God thing, you know, so I wasn't going to let it go, you know, I wasn't going to hold back, and that's the whole point, we can't. If I held back, it wouldn't have gone, you know, the way it's gone. You know, we have, you know, over a million people have seen it now. So, you know, I knew that was the Lord, and it was linked to the Harbinger because, you know, in the Harbinger, one of the mysteries, it begins with, it takes place in a presidential inauguration, the first inauguration with Washington. And that's the beginning, and it takes place on that first day when there was a prayer gathering. So here God is now having me speak at the latest inauguration at the prayer gathering. You know, so I knew there was a God thing, and we have to be bold. A lot of people wrote in and say, oh, thank you for being bolder. You know, we're waiting for somebody to say this. Yes, but we're all to say this. That's the whole point. You know,
and
God will honor those who do his will.
I applaud you. Because and again, you know, even though it's a God thing, doing the God thing is not always the easy thing.
Right. Rarely, yes.
You know, getting out the boat and you know, looking around, that's not the, even when they call you, because the faces in the crowd, you didn't, they look at you like, I can't believe you're getting ready to say that. And I got to say, I thank God you did. I mean, it was a blessing. And the Harbinger is a blessing. And those of you who have not read it, you should go and pick it up. Go and get the DVD. Watch it and read it. And then get a relationship with God and repent.
Yes.
And those of us who know God, get a sign and begin to tell the truth.
Absolutely.
There is no fear in God.
Yes.
Well, it's impossible to please him without faith. And you deny him before men, and he'll deny you before the Father.
And they may take everything you
want. You don't want that.
But when I look at the disciples, they all of them died a violent death, except for John.
Uh-huh.
We need to understand. He said, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. And he said, if we follow him, we're going to suffer persecution. And Americans have gotten lazy in their feel good sermons because, as long as you're tickling my ear and scratching my head, I'm okay. But when I tell you the truth and step on your toes, then we got a problem.
It's easy to remain in the comfort zone.
Yeah, we got to come out of that.
Yeah, and that's why, and that's really, I mean, yeah, it really goes back to God's people. If the word was being preached full blast all over, you know, and if we were not afraid of not being comfortable, this would not be. So you know, as it gets more and more the way it's going, you know, you have to be bolder, you have to be stronger, you have to be more radical, and you got to be all out. I mean, there comes a line, you got to draw a line in the sand. That's it. It's all out for God. You know, if there's something that should not be in your life, you know, this is the time to get it out because that's under judgment. If there's something that should be, but it's not, and God is calling you, this is the time. Now is the time to do it. The light has got to get brighter, because then when the night comes, you know, the lights that shine bright, they're going to light up the world, you know. And so that's the good part, you know. And also, you know, if there was no hope, there would be no harbingers, because what's the point of warning if there's no hope? So when people ask, you know, is there hope? Well, yes, in God there's hope. If you look at the country, it doesn't look very hopeful. But you look at God, there's always hope. And the other thing is that, you know, with people saying, is there going to be revival or judgment? And the answer is sometimes there can be both. Sometimes revival only comes through shaking. And so, you know, that's the key. But we have to be ready, you know, when these things happen. And it's like the sound of the trumpets, it's sounding. And, you know, God says, sound the trumpet. We're the watchmen. And if we don't sound the trumpet, you know, their blood is on our heads. So we got to get the gospel out. We have to spread the word. We got to live as never before. And I think that's why the Harbinger is going out now. People are literally, you know, giving out bulk, buying it and giving out bulk to unsaved people and saved people. But God, the time is late. God is speaking, and he's real.
Yeah, he is. And I want to thank you so much. I only have you she only books you for 30 minutes. But if you want to stay, you're more than welcome.
Thanks, Tracy. No, I'd love to, by the way, and it's a joy always to be with you. I have to other things. I got a meeting coming up, but I am totally blessed. You know, we could do it in the future. You're a joy, and your people. It's good to hear. Your other and the people with you are a joy. We can do it again. You are standing strong, and you keep up the good work because it's a good work that you're doing. Yeah, was it?
We'll pray for you. And listen, I'll get because you know what, I want to get you. I want to get you here.
Yeah, we would love to.
I want to get you here.
Now, where are you again?
We're in Ohio. We're in Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
6 hours from New York.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what I try to do is, I mean,
I'll talk to Lucille.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me. And I'll just. And if it's okay, I'll just tell if people want to get in touch. Is that okay? Yeah. If they want to get in touch. If they want to get in touch. It's the ministry is Hope of the World. And to get like more teachings or all that, or just get in touch. It's hopeoftheworld.org on the web or hopeoftheworld.com. If they want to get the deepest things in the Harbinger, the full teachings. It's like 7 hours of the deepest parts. That's on theharbingerwebsite.org or theharbingerwebsite.com. And you know, and then again, as you said, Tracy, I appreciate it. It's to get the Harbinger. It's everywhere and anywhere and everywhere, from Walmart to Amazon. And the same with the Harbinger Companion, and the same with the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment, the two DVDs. So that's everywhere. And most importantly, you know, we got to live the life. We got to walk the walk, and we have to spread the word.
Rabbi, before you go, Gwen, is that you?
Yes.
Rabbi Kahn, this is Gwendolyn Morton, and she is the friend who actually introduced me to the Harbinger and Isaiah 9:10 and told me about you.
Mm.
And so she's coming on behind you, and I didn't know if she wanted to speak to you. I had a question for you before I let you go, and I would not let that happen without letting her get that opportunity.
Hi, Gwen.
Thank you. Hi, Rabbi. Shalom to you. I have listened to you. I've been in meetings where you've spoken, and you have had such an impact on my life and ministry, and I want to thank God for you, and I pray his shalom over your life and your ministry continue.
Thank you so much. And listen, I'm that I could be used at all, like any of us, you know, I'm blessed. I mean, the fact that, you know, we're all to be affecting each other and to be lights to each other and encourage each other. And thank you. And you're an encouragement as well. You know, so thank you so much. And thank you for being an instrument to talk to Tracy, you know, that now, you know, many more where you are can hear that. So thank you so much. And I just led, you know, as we were talking, I'm just led to do this, if it's okay. I don't normally do it. But I'm led to give the blessing, the Aaronic blessing from the Bible in the language of Jesus. In the language of Jesus. This was, you know, this is from Numbers, and this is what the sons of Aaron were to bless the people of God. And I'm from that line of Aaron, so it's a blessing for me, and you are the people of God, and I just felt led to do that. So if that's okay, I'll do that in the language of Jesus.
Please.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavalecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on your life and fill you with his grace. The Lord lift up the glory of his presence upon every part of your life. And the Lord give you shalom, life, fullness, peace, all the blessings of his love. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world, Uchvod Yisrael, the glory of Israel, Ari Yavuda, and the lion of the tribe of Judah. In his holy name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Kahn.
God bless you, Tracy, and all, and friends.
And I love you.
And love you, too. And keep up the great work God's given you.
Thank you. Hey, Gwen, hold on. I'm going to take a real quick break and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side.
Fit Family. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com. Or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. And I'm Tracy Winbush. In studio with me is Jeff and Bob. And I've got a friend of mine. Her name is Gwendolyn Morton. And I met her. She was teaching a class on eschatology. I've known her brother for quite some time. And those of you who are in the church world know of Pastor Paul Morton. And but she, in her own right, is a phenomenal teacher on eschatology, which means end times. Hey, Gwen, how are you?
Good afternoon, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And we normally do open mic on Fridays, but when I had Rabbi Kahn and I called you and said you'd come and spend a little time with me, I know I don't have you for too much longer because I let him go too far, but it was a blessing.
No, he didn't go too far. He was such a blessing. Oh, my goodness.
And having you on, because right now the United States is in a situation that supernaturally that I don't think they recognize naturally.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you called me and we talked about just what's happening in this country and when we talk on Facebook, I am seeing United States headed straight for judgment. And my fear is the church is completely unaware of it. And let me clarify, people, when I say the church, I am talking about the body of Christ in general, not any particular ministry, but the body of Christ is unaware of what's going on.
I agree. Because I need to ask you, and I thought about this, and Jeff and I, we've had some disagreements because, you know, those of us who are born-again believers don't believe everything interpreted the same. And Jeff and I, we've been talking about this. And in the Bible, I can't really seem to find America.
Nor I, Tracy. Nor I. It is not spelled out in the scriptures.
Right. I don't see where we are a superpower, super broker playing around in Revelation when I read it. And what concerns me is, I know we may not be there, but I don't want us to be where we're not supposed to be inside of this. I don't want to see us abolished. And America's heading for a situation where we will no longer be America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If I could say, it is amazing that this great country of ours is not listed among the last day nations. That's so amazing because up until a few years ago, we were considered the greatest nation in the world. But we're imploding from within. Because of wickedness, because of sin, I can see where United States doesn't fit in. For years I said maybe one of three things could happen. Either there are so many believers in the United States in the end times that they're raptured out. Could that cause America not to be on the scene? Or is it that we become a part of the last day nations in a one world government, or is United States destroyed by nuclear weapons? So of those three, I would love to believe that it's the rapture, but I'm concerned about the church.
I am too, because America needs to be the evangelist for the world, and now the world is evangelizing to America.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you really look at what's going on, we're spreading. Tied with our foreign aid, we're spreading homosexuality.
Oh, where can I
start? I don't think we realize that.
Romans 1 clearly defines homosexuality as a judgment of God on a people who no longer recognize him as God. I never really looked at it until years lately that it is a judgment, and the more you see it, the more you know that judgment is upon us. How will two men or two women continue to make this country multiply? And then on top of that, we have abortion. Millions of babies are being killed through abortion. And today I saw on CNN that the morning after pill has been approved for over-the-counter, where a 12-year-old girl can buy the morning after pill and she doesn't even have to tell her mother. That says to me this country has stopped producing and we're imploding from within. Our wickedness is going to destroy us. And what I fear is that the church is not crying loud enough about these sins.
Crying loud enough? Heck, we ain't even talking.
We're not crying. Exactly.
We're not crying. Ain't got no tears.
Sin isn't being discussed.
If you really listen to what's going on, we're still talking about turn around, slap it three times, God's going to bring you out of debt.
Right. In 3 days, you're going to see your miracle. And those are the things that we're focused on. But isn't that what the Lord says to the churches in Revelation 1-4, he talks to the seven churches, which I believe are representative of the church ages. We get to that final church, and he says, you think you're rich and in need of nothing. You have no idea that you are naked and you're empty. Buy from me gold. Your gold means nothing. Buy from me silver. And then he makes a personal statement when he's finished with the church report card. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door. To me, that says to the church, stop looking at leadership. Stop looking at other people. Get your personal relationship with God. Every man for himself, the Lord will open up to him. I've said for years that I believe that in the very last of the days, that the true church, those who are sick of what's going on in the church, will walk away. In fact, they'll be pushed away and persecuted by organized church, because organized church is getting more and more prosperous. All we care about is building bigger buildings and having bigger congregations, and we're getting the true message of Christ is getting lost, totally lost.
Absolutely, sis. I absolutely agree with you. The only one hope that I had in the scripture were that we would be considered as one of the young lions, which would be those that were the countries that were birthed out of the Western civilization of Europe, because the young lions inquire when the kings of the north and the east want to come down into Israel. They inquire, what for? Are you coming to take a spoil, or are you coming to do X, Y, and Z? So that's where I possibly see America at in the end times. However, they were not significant in that passage of scripture, because they didn't raise up any defense for Israel. Israel was on its own, and the Bible tells you there was a time coming when Israel would be on its own, and every nation of the world with hand would be against it. I don't care what I've seen here lately. This president, in my view, has turned his back on Israel, and we'll see over these next couple months when they have to do something about Iran. But we will see what happens according to that. But I am very concerned about America. And thank God there's a remnant of us here that believe and are speaking,
but when I look at the remnant, you know, when I look at the remnant is not there. Does not have the platform.
Nope.
Where I don't see the, and I might as well just get in trouble and just call it out.
Come on,
go for it.
You know,
go for it.
I don't see the televangelist preachers, the TBN. When I watch TBN now, I have to be careful of what I'm watching and who I'm listening to, because it's very, very skewed and very, very sometimes not what I would actually say to go forward scriptural. There, I have to be careful of. I look at Bishop Jakes and I love him to death, with the platform and the influence that you have, you can't go on TV with Deepak Chopra and just let him say anything he wants to say and just let him get away with it. I don't understand.
Absolutely.
I have
it
a problem.
Me. It totally grieves me.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We're supposed to cry. I mean, just because we're friends does not mean I'm going to agree with you. Jeff and I have major battles and wars in here.
Right.
Not that much, my God.
But here's the thing,
Tracy. If all of those that are on TV and all of those that have the platform, if we knew for sure that tomorrow North Korea was going to attack this country, or let's say on Monday, North Korea was actually going to release nuclear weapons, how many of those that have the pulpit on Sunday would preach what they prepared? If they absolutely knew, our whole agenda, I believe, would change. It changed for 3 weeks after 9/11.
You think it would change?
I think out of fear, it would change. I would hope it would change. But my point that I brought that out is our agenda, we're off focus. And we've got to get back. The Lord told us not to be, in Matthew, he says, don't be so overcharged and so concerned with the cares of this life that his coming catch us unaware. We're
Amen.
Asleep. We are asleep. And I want, if I could stand on a rooftop, I would say, people of God, we have lost our credibility in the world. Honestly, I don't know how the lost even look at us. And seriously, I say this with tears, because I almost hate to identify with what we call church anymore, because the world's not listening to us. because they see us on reality shows. They see the foolishness, they see the garbage, and they really, we have lost our, the devil has done a good job at his job. He gets an A. He has done great at his job. We are failing at ours. And this is a wake-up call. We are about to face wars. We talk about North Korea, and the scripture talks about the kings from the east. They're preparing.
Asia.
But we're forgetting Iran. Ezekiel 37 and 38 talks about a war where Iran will join forces with Russia and Turkey and those Muslim nations to attack Israel. It says that a nation far off that is comfortable gets hit. Will we suffer the fallout? Because God's not going to let Israel be destroyed. But we're asleep and we can't see these things coming.
You spoke a real sharp one there. Repeat that one about what it says about the far one off that's comfortable getting hit.
In Ezekiel 38, it speaks about a land that is afar off, dwelling comfortably. And that's all it does is mention it. We're afar off from the Middle East nations. But why?
Right.
And I wish I had time to look that up. But could it be that we're the ones that are going to suffer the fallout? Now, the thing about the Ezekiel 37-38 war, which is the Gog-Magog war, is the fact that God comes to Israel's rescue. In the last segment, when you ask Rabbi Kahn about unbelieving Jews, there are Jewish people who have lost their faith in God completely because they can't understand why he hasn't come to their rescue. At this war, the scripture says that in Ezekiel 38, it tells us that everyone will know that he is God. I believe that before the Lord removes us, the whole world will have witnessed him protect Israel in some battle. But for America, the Lord will pull his church out, but I don't see a future for them. We've gone so far backward.
I can't argue with that one.
There's another war to expect, Syria. Isaiah 17 talks about Damascus. And interestingly, and I hope, cut me off if you need to. Interestingly, the Bible tells us that Damascus is the oldest city in the world, Damascus, Syria, and yet it disappears overnight. That has to be nuclear. It says in the morning it was there, at nighttime it was gone.
It was gone.
We just witnessed that because Syria is in an uproar right now. All of the major players that the Bible talks about are in place, and yet we're unaware. And I just pray for all of our leaders. I pray for our pastors and ministers that they will pay attention to the signs that are going on around us. The church can have its own revival, but I don't think we need to expect that. The church is going to get more carnal. There will be a few that will stand for truth. And when the Lord removes his church, of course, his focus will go back to Israel. We're seeing the Jews coming to Christ now, and they're teaching us so much. Rabbi Kahn, to me, is like a man who walked out of the Old Testament with a warning. He's an Isaiah. He's a Hosea. He's one of those guys warning us that judgment is coming.
I thank you, my sister. I thank you, Sister Gwen Morton. Gwen, give people your contact information where if they're interested in contacting you or sending you an email.
Absolutely.
Or Facebooking you.
My personal email is Gwen Mort, that's GWENMORT at AOL.com. And feel free to write me. I will answer. I love to talk about this stuff.
Oh, and she knows some stuff, too.
I'm with her. I'm with her.
I want to talk to you more.
I've got to talk. I know you've got a meeting. I'm going to pick up a few calls. You can just drop off when you have to, Gwen. I love you.
I'm around for now.
Oh, good. Hold on just a second. South Carolina, go ahead. 792-792, I'm going to pick you up next.
Wow, I've been kind of listening to that. And everything she said, I can agree with 100%. I mean, there's definitely something happening to the church. I mean, I've seen it with the church that I came out of. They're definitely becoming more and more liberal and more accepting in who they allow to be in leadership, and just kind of turn a blind eye. And it's not scary. I don't know. All I know is I'm not going to worry about it because I know how the whole story ends.
Amen.
That's a good part of it. Hold on. 792, your mic is on.
Thank you. Tracy. My Lord, I'm getting blessed sitting here. This is Prophet Bob Propri from Austin Town, not too far away from you, Tracy.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Woman of God, one of the things that I'm hearing today in my spirit, man, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive them of their sin and I'll heal their land. God is calling us in the hour we are living because Rabbi hit it, the nail right on the head. We need to pray. And I mean not just this five-minute prayer and forget about it and go on our merry way. Or do we have intercessory prayer warriors out there in our area or even around the world that will intercede and pray? I can remember watching the Bible the other day on the History Channel and even on Lifetime where Jesus asked the disciples, will you pray 1 hour? And they went to sleep instead of praying that 1 hour. Jesus asked them to pray, and no one is praying. So, Tracy, I do believe there are many things coming. God has been showing me things in the spirit. I see militia law going into the grocery stores in the near future because men and women are going to be wiping out the stores, running there. My wife had a vision this morning about that. And so God is warning us to wake up. You know, are we really, truly people walking for God? He said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, we're not praying. And a wake-up call is coming. I see many things in the spirit that God shows this prophet, and I do reveal it on Facebook. People think you're nuts. They don't believe the prophets today, the true prophets that see things just as Rabbi is. He's a true prophet of God. He sees things also. I wish he would have stayed on because I would have gave him a prophetic word from God. But what he was saying and what the woman of God, Gwen, is, she's got revelation knowledge deep in the spirit of God, Tracy. And she's revealing things to people, and they need to get in touch with her because God shows her things very deep. She gets the mysteries of God, and I don't know her from Adam, but that's what I see. And they need your listeners need to get in touch with her if they have a question about the end time prophecy and what's taking place today.
Absolutely.
God bless you, Tracy, and thank you.
God bless you too, and I thank you. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Got a question for you.
Okay.
I wanted to see if everybody missed it except me. How about that meteor that exploded over Russia?
Yeah.
Was it a warning? Did he want to see if everybody was paying attention? Did he want to see if everybody could see that he could take us out if he wants to? Mm-hmm. And nobody's seen it coming.
Can I answer?
Yes. You know,
absolutely.
Oh,
the Bible, absolutely. The Bible says in the last days that there would be signs in the heavens, in the skies. It tells us that men's hearts would fail them for fear for the things that are coming to the earth. We just skip right over those. Those things are definite warnings. God is giving us all the signs. We're just not paying attention.
You're right, Trey.
Yeah. I seen it as a warning, and it seemed like nobody caught it. It's like, are you kidding me?
No. Lots of people caught it. Let me say something here. Don't forget also that there is a meteor in the end times. I think it's past tribulation time, but that hits the earth that poisons a third of the water of the earth,
mm-hmm.
of the fresh
right.
water of the earth. It's going to be called wormwood, they call it. Now,
mm-hmm.
some people interpret that to mean it's going to be a nuclear explosion, because they said Chernobyl meant the same thing when it went up. But Chernobyl wasn't it. Chernobyl wasn't the it. But we're very close to a number of things that are getting ready to happen. And that's why I appreciated these two generals on today, because, you know, I studied up under Prophet Khan, as well as another good Bible teacher in my estimation, Perry Stone. And as these people have brought revelation, and my sister right here is just totally just tearing it up right now.
this is something that we, and I'm not gonna take my break just yet, but this is something that we need to really be cognizant of. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I know you guys are looking for an open mic, but this is open mic for right now. We are the church, the people who go inside the buildings and the institutions on Sundays are being lulled asleep by the people, because we will not tell the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
And the times that we are in. And those of you who are out there who are listening, and I know that we have many preachers who listen and many people who listen, it is time for us to put down the superficial gospel that we preach and pick up the real truth of what it says.
Amen.
It's time to tell the truth. Listen, sin is sin, and we need to call sin what it is and quit trying to flower it and sugarcoat it and tell the truth. Quit trying to prophesy. The reason why you can't tell a prophet from a lie, because we got psychics instead of prophets.
You're right.
Amen.
You better say that again.
People are going to psychics.
No. I'm talking about the prophet and the psychic.
I'm with you.
My problem is that's a problem for me. And we're going to have to start doing something about it so that we can make sure that our children have longevity. The children are dying young and in the womb and before they're born, because we're sitting back being silent.
True. So true.
Amen there.
Social justice.
This is more than social
right.
justice. This
and
is
politically
church.
Correct.
I mean, it's in the church.
People go to church and you know what?
Right.
There's pillars and there's caterpillars.
Yep.
There's pillars of the church, and there's ones that crawl in and crawl out.
But what I'm saying is, when a caterpillar comes in, I need to be able to call him out. And what's happening is, I, as a preacher, are selling the people a bill of bad information.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm motivating them. I'm a motivational speaker. I give them a very good motivational speech. I get them emotionally charged, and I'm talking about in the Pentecost church. I'm not even going to the Episcopalian and the quiet churches. I'm going to the ones they call Pentecostal churches. I'm going there, the full gospel church. I'm going there today, because those are the ones who said they knew that they got the Spirit of God in them, but they got chicken them written all across their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
People have been, and you guys judge me and judge this word, you know, accordingly, but we've been allowing the pastor to direct everything for so long without the rest of the fivefold ministry in the churches, which I know a lot of people you're not going to understand, that relevancy has just passed the church, because the times have come up and the technologies have come to pass that are staring us in the face, and we're preaching a message from 1885.
But Jack,
come on.
Listen. We're not even preaching a message.
That's what I'm saying, but
there's no substance.
Yeah, but you hear what I'm saying?
I was at a church not too long ago, and I looked up and said, what are you really talking about? What are you talking about?
Right.
That ain't in the Bible.
No, I know that.
Amen.
You
know, which is why.
It's a simple message.
Can I add,
yes,
and this is
ahead.
To all of the listeners, that I'm not someone special. I'm not a preacher. I have no credentials. I determined to be like Solomon, to have wisdom, to know the times. I asked to be like the sons of Issachar, who had wisdom to know what to do. And I want to say to everyone there, you're a me. I'm nobody special. But if you ask God to show you what's going on in this world today, you will know, because you cannot depend upon the pulpit to give it to you. And if you're going to church on Sunday with the hope of knowing exactly what the Lord is saying, you may miss it at the church you're going to. Seek a real relationship with him yourself. And a good word and a good scripture that I learned from Chuck Missler is Acts 17:11. The Thessalonians listened to what Paul preached, and they went home and daily searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying was true. Weigh everything you hear from church by the scriptures, and then search the scriptures for what's going on in the world, and you'll know. You're a me. That's the easiest way I can say it. God is revealing himself to the little person.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. In studio with me is Jeff and Bob. Larry just walked in. Gwen's on the phone. We got some other people out there. Some of them I don't even know. God, I'm having a great discussion. It is open mic. I'm going to go that way. But, again, I want to thank Rabbi Kahn. It's the Harbinger. You need to go get the book if you don't have it. It'll just blow your mind. Go, if you can, go get Google it on YouTube, and it'll blow you away. When you watch the presidents, when you watch the timeline of how they actually come down and just say it out loud, and they walk through the scriptures in chronicle order, and it will mess you up in the head to say they don't even know what they're reading or what they're saying. And they were leaders, so we'll be right back.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue.
Hello? Hello?
I've got to run for a minute.
She'll be back
on. I'm sorry?
She'll be back on.
Okay, I've got to run for a moment. She knew that.
Okay.
I may be able to come back in a little later.
All right.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless you, sir.
Bless you, too. And who's on the line there?
It's Bob. I'm still on the call.
Oh, hey, Bob. This is South Carolina.
Okay, I'm in Austintown, Ohio.
Oh, okay. And where's Austintown located?
It's right outside of Youngstown, Ohio, where the call is coming from.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Maybe we all got disconnected.
No, I'd say when she doesn't take a break, she has those spots that she's got to pay, got to play.
Okay.
So it can, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I've got Jeff and Bob and Larry. I see these three in studio with me. South Carolina's on the phone. 792, I think that's the guy from Austintown who's the prophet over in Austintown. And then I'm going to pick up the other calls that we've got coming in. I had on Rabbi Pastor Jonathan Kahn. And a girlfriend of mine. And Gwen, are you still there? And a girlfriend of mine named Gwen Morton. And she has been studying in-depth eschatology for years. I sat in several classes of hers over the years, and she's really good at what she does. And we're going to get her in here also as we progress, because I think she would be a blessing to our community and to our listenership. And we're going to get Rabbi Kahn in here also. So I'm going to pick everybody up. And I know that normally we have an open mic and we're really talking about politics, but I have a problem because we're trying to separate our religious beliefs, our faith beliefs, from our politics, not realizing that your politics and your faith merge, because politics drives everything and your faith should drive your political vote in your system, because you ought to be doing what I believe is a part of my agenda, and my agenda ought to be based upon my faith.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yes. That's a good point. Dr. Carson actually said that in his speech, the prayer breakfast speech, where he was talking about and all the flack that he's gotten back from that. You know, he says, hey, I don't have to worry about this. I get my guidance from the Bible.
Right.
And so he says, as long as I stay on that, they can't catch me on anything. So, yeah, you can't separate the two.
Right. I mean, you do the right thing. The right thing according to my belief, and my belief should be according to how I drive. Even my leadership style
right.
in business should be driven by my belief. Even how I raise my family and what I do and how I interact with people should be based upon my belief and my family. Everything should go back to what I stand for, and what I stand for should be my belief system. That's
right.
Why it's so important. That's why you ask people, what do you believe?
Absolutely.
732, your mic is on. Okay. 504, your mic is on.
That could be me. I came back
okay.
on another phone.
Can you hear me?
Hold on, Gwen. Yes, ma'am. Are you 732?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. This is Prophet Connie from New Jersey.
Hi,
how are you? I just wanted to say I enjoyed the rabbi. I enjoyed your friend, Ms. Gwen. And I just say, as people of God, as prophets and people of God, we've got to stay on the wall. And it's very incumbent upon us to watch and pray for everybody. There's quite a few things that are going on in our government and all around us. And we just need to watch and pray for one another and keep our minds stayed on what it is God tells us to do, because he's got a plan for us all. And there's some things he wants us to do, and we need to watch and pray and not be afraid of men in their face. Things are coming. They are coming. And we have to know what he said to do about what is coming. And we need to stay in our word, to study, to show ourselves approved, even as a government. And he said we must, as government relates to your program, we're to pray much for folks in authority over us.
Amen.
That's the word that God gave us. We can pray to an end, that we can turn things around. Prayer changes things, even on a governmental level. It changes things. We can turn some things around. And I just want to say to your audience, and just reiterated it down into my spirit, that we should pray for folks in authority over us. We should pray that a program like this continues to show itself, and that we can come in and have a word to say about it, because we don't have as much freedom of speech as we once did. and it's going to wane as we go on. We're not going to have
this. You
know what?
Actually, we have the freedom. We just don't say it.
Well, we have to say it because we're scared.
What we're scared of. See, the issue is I have the ability to say what I choose. They have not stopped me from saying it. The question is, why won't I say it, and what am I afraid of losing?
Because people won't like you.
But people won't like me, but let's get past that. Who is the source of my supply?
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on now.
See, the question is, I need to understand what faith is all about. Faith is more than, you know, what I see with my eyes and my paycheck.
Amen.
My faith is who is the source of my supply, because actually you can have gold and not have food.
This is true.
See, manna came from heaven.
Yes, it did.
And the same God of then is the same God of now. So my question to everyone is, who supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory? Who do you say you have your faith in? And why is it that you're depending upon man and upon yourself and not upon the God who gives you the ability to create wealth?
Tracy.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
For the people that know the Bible, I don't like ravens, but if they start bringing me Giant Eagle grocery bags and tease me, they are welcome. Oh, you hear me? Because however God takes care of me is how it is.
Amen.
I went on a journey like that, so I know it. I know it for myself. And so I am a witness to tell you that when you don't think you have a thing to go on, and you believe in God, God takes care of you.
But oh, yes, he does.
Right now, he is my source. That's why I cry loud in spirit not.
Right now, I've got a guy in the studio, and he's been going through chemotherapy. I'm just going to put your business
okay,
on.
I was going there.
And his name is Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I didn't say anything. Go ahead, ma'am.
And it's through God. Okay. I've been blessed.
You want me to tell it?
Listen
to me. For those that don't know, the Spirit of the Lord is all over this man, and is all in the studio today, starting with Rabbi Khan and Sister Morton.
Gwen.
We've been grown men been sitting over here on the other side of this thing crying.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God has touched our heart about these things, because we know what the truth is. We are the ones that are, you know, some of the ones that are sitting up and crying aloud right now. This man got a story to tell, and maybe he can choke it out now. You know, right?
So when you've been diagnosed, when you got back spurs,
oh,
and you got kids going crazy and grandkids nuts and going to the doctor, and there's no good news, yet the sustainer comes in and gives you peace through
Peace.
Tell me during the break that he has a nurse who takes him to chemotherapy, and she said, I've never seen anyone be able to go through chemotherapy like you, where he comes in here and hangs out with me like I give him a paycheck, because he can. And we need to understand that the God of supply, the God of the Creator, the Lord God, the Provider, is providing for us if you give him the opportunity
Amen.
To do so. Your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy, and all the friends and family. God bless you all. I wanted to share with you a dream that I just had recently. Our church has been through a 40-day period of fasting and praying and reading scripture. And I had a dream that I was at the mall, and all of a sudden troops came in, and they covered the concourse and all of the outlets from the stores. And over the bullhorn, they said, there is a crisis situation, and you must comply, and we need you to board the transport vehicles outside immediately. No questions, and no one is to leave the building in any other way. And they put women and children into buses that had blacked-out windows, and they had men into trucks, and they rounded up everybody. I mean, they were standing, like, at attention, all down the concourse. Nobody could get away. Nobody could escape out of any of those stores. And they didn't take us far. You know, I didn't feel like I had driven far. And when we unloaded into a building. And it was like a big warehouse building. There were lines of tables and chairs, desks, and people doing, like, processing. And they took, you know, your identification, and plugged it in, they knew all about you, you know, as soon as they had your name. And so because I had education, I was put into a line where they asked me to read a list of words, and because I could pronounce them, you know, intelligibly, they moved me on to another desk, and there I was asked to spell a number of words, and because I did that, they moved me on to another desk where they asked me to write, and I wrote legibly, so then they took me and put me into another line. And while we were proceeding, everyone was quiet. It was almost like later as I, you know, analyzed my dream, I thought, you know, this is how they rounded up the Jews, and they didn't protest, they didn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
And here we were just, you know, processed through these lines. And I saw up ahead of me a machine, and people were putting their hand into the machine, and
oh
the machine, your hand went in so that the palm was up. And what it was doing was putting a, like a pop cap. Remember the old days of a glass pop bottle?
Oh, yeah.
This had like that little flange around it, and it was like a pop cap. It was implanted into the palm of your hand.
My Jesus.
And I watched this, and as I was going, I looked to the people around me, not in a panicked way, but I just said, I don't think I can receive this. I can't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't receive this. And from out of the blue, here's my brother in a line beside me. He, you know, is college educated as well. And he told me, he says, be quiet, be quiet. And he says, take it. And I said, I don't think I can. And then a lady turned around ahead of me, and she says, it's all right, take it. So in my mind, I'm going back to Scripture thinking, you know, the only way that you could take the mark would be to, you know, denounce the Lord and accept the authority of the beast. And nobody was asking me to do that. So I put my hand in the machine and got this, like, button implanted. And then they took us into another room, and they showed us where this button could be flashed in front. You know how they have these paper towel dispensers now that you put your hand in front of it and wave, and it dispenses the paper towel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This button was like that for everything.
Let me.
It could connect you. It could make your computers open doors.
Let me say this to you. RFID chips. They are real.
Yes.
They were actually written into the health care bill.
Yes, they were.
They were removed. They were removed.
The first.
But the first draft, they were written in. Now, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, and it is an open mic. But the number, and the number is 347-945-5229. We talked about people being scared earlier.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're afraid to tell your child that you don't condone him or her shacking, him or her being gay and marrying and living, or telling your children that they shouldn't be having a whole bunch of kids out of wedlock, let alone one. If you're afraid of that, and so you don't say anything, if the preacher's afraid to preach that and no one says anything, then tell me what you going to do when they come for you.
Oh, my Jesus.
Well, you know, I told my pastor, Hold on.
There's somebody, the lady from New Jersey, I think. Go ahead.
Yes,
hold on.
Oh, my God. That wasn't a dream. And that's going to be so true, and it won't be long.
Amen.
It won't be long. I mean, you know, it's all inevitable. And it's written, and it's going to be done. And that was the mark of the beast. Like Tracy was saying, they wrote it into the health bill. They took it out. But it will return.
Hold on, wait. In New Jersey, listen, I've got to call people out. I've got about seven people going on here.
Amen.
And the ones on the terrestrial line cannot hear the ones on the computer, so they talk on top. So give me a minute, okay?
Yes,
go ahead, South Carolina. I heard your voice.
You know, Tracy, when I kind of look back on the way things have gone in different people's lives, you know, and there are certain people out there that have the attitude that I don't care what they say, I don't care how they say it, I'm going to stand up for it, I'm going to keep standing, I'm going to keep doing it, regardless. They can beat me, they can shoot me, they can kill me, but they're not going to make me shut up. And those people, somehow those people seem to be finding each other.
Amen.
Well, they don't seem to be. You know, you cannot outwit the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
you name like
one.
It or not.
And
you know, we will migrate. Hey, Gwen, you have any comment? I know she's there. Gwen, she was there. Larry, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Trace.
You're welcome. Go ahead. Local call, go ahead.
Well, this dream I shared with my pastor, and he told me, he says, you've been given a vision of what's to come. And he's preaching now on Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, you know, us really being completely sold out. We can't be, you know, there can't be any reservation. We know what our purpose is on this earth, and we're supposed to be sharing the good news, the gospel of Christ, and not letting this, you know, this critical time be wasted.
Fifth Family.
You go ahead.
You know, worrying about what people will think. In love, we're supposed to go to them and tell them it's the truth, because their eternal souls are at stake. And you know, you were talking about what are we telling our young people,
but
so far as values. But you think when we see all these young people who have tattoos, how easily it might be for them to take another mark.
But you have to realize we don't even tell our children anymore about the mark of the beast. We don't tell them about 666. We don't tell them about the rapture anymore. Remember, we are a churchless generation now. Go ahead.
Your dream is just sent chills up to me. Over about 30 years ago, a friend of mine gave me a book, and it was called When Money Doesn't Matter Anymore.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And there is a push now more than ever to try and get away from a paper money society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, companies are forcing people into direct deposits. There's companies now that for example, your welfare now comes on an EBT direction card. If you don't have a bank account for Social Security, you have to have an account for it to be deposited. And what the book talked about is they wanted to give you, at that time, they didn't have the RFID chips, they wanted to give you a barcode.
Right.
Yep.
And the prefix to the world computer was 666.
We don't teach that. I mean, again, you really, really think of it, when's the last time you went to church service, you went to a Bible study, and you heard any or remotely anything about any of that?
I haven't.
Here's the deeper thing yet. You mentioned it last time when you said that the RFID chip was written into the first healthcare bill, and then, you know, a lot of people took it out because it was so obvious. And see, we haven't been, the church here hasn't been killed yet. We've been slowed up, but we haven't been killed. And so a lot of people are raised in heaven about this. So, but here's the thing. The president had the RFID chip companies get prepared that as of last November, that they were to be prepared to make sure that everyone in the United States was able to get this chip, and that they were going to try to get some way to start putting in babies right from the beginning under the auspices of, you know.
Getting off.
Being
able to trace it. Because I've had guys come to me with that.
Track the baby.
Actually,
right.
Yeah, and that they're worried about somebody taking their child.
It's right.
So to be able to track them.
But that, yeah, they have them for the test now.
It's already successful.
They pilot the program or
the
pigs with the dog.
Let me encourage the young lady. The bottle cap thing that you said, the way that they put it in is exactly like that, only a lot smaller than the bottle cap, but it's the same type of design. I've seen that thing because they had things like this when I was in the military, and I worked in a very intelligent.
Jeff, you don't understand. You carry it around with you every day.
Oh, you mean in your Well, you know that's what they're doing initially.
You carry around. You keep it charged and carry it around with you.
That's on the outside. You can lose that. That can be separated.
That's what I'm saying, Jeff. You said when we our RFID chip is about the size of a grain of rice.
Right. Yep.
And it is already in motion. When you go, as a matter of fact, when you go to the Y, you put your right hand in, and you punch in your code.
Yeah.
And they take your print of your hand,
mm-hmm.
and they have a place where you have eye scanners now.
Yeah.
You would be surprised what's going on, and technology has now prepared the way.
Yeah, you'll see it first, like Jeff said, in the military, but you're already seeing some of it.
We had eye scanners back then.
Yeah, they have that.
Right.
And they're just waiting for an excuse or a reason to do it. Now, they started, I think I told you the last time, I was at a farm right up north of here in Trumbull County,
mm-hmm.
and the guy used some of the money that he leased his land for to put in a robotic milking parlor. Right, and every cow come into there had like an ankle brace, and I said, "Man, what you got these cows on house arrest?" And he was like, "No," and then he took me to the computer and showed me, and every cow was monitored mainly by this computer, and he knew to where if one of the teats weren't working, the computer knew and wouldn't milk that one. Now he also was getting a daily tracking because when a cow goes into heat, they in the barn will move more. So he actually knew before when he had to look at it visually. So that technology is already there. It just have to have a reason to do it. But she's talking about your cell phone.
Yeah.
They're talking about now because of the cash for clunkers, for instance.
Sure.
Right? The states aren't collecting a lot of revenue to fix the roads. So now they're talking about putting a charge on you per mile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're going to pay the gas tax, but now you're going to pay, and a guy like me, I'm already paying the gas tax.
I got OnStar.
Yeah. Well, you got OnStar. You got these Easy Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now if they pass a law and says you got to pay for your miles, you'll have to have something like Easy Pass in there. So
they already have
these tracking things. It's just getting used to it. But you'll see it first in the military. I mean, think about this. We know all this information, and our drones are going over there. And basically, this was the guys that we had down in Guantanamo, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know when we were releasing them where they were going,
mm-hmm.
and we could listen in on them.
Yeah.
And then they caught one of them predator drones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this technology is here. It's already there.
And remember, all your medical information now has to be online.
Oh, and all your medical information.
You're right.
Thanks to the Affordable Health Care Act.
Absolutely. And also, you got to also understand, Jeff. You said it's kind of somebody said this. It might not have been you, but somebody said it was right now. It's too hard to get that in.
Yeah.
But now let's look at 30 years ago.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, let's go back to 2004.
Exactly.
When we were talking about marriage initially, when Ohio came out. And it was about same-sex marriage and how you define traditional marriage. Did you ever think that we would go from that point there to this point here within the last 9 years?
That got me.
Okay. No. So if you can go that fast, 9 years, not a long time, that fast, the president, as a matter of fact, nobody was really thinking about same-sex marriage until President Obama stood up on a platform right about a year ago and said, I'm now redefine and reshape myself, and now I've evolved, and now I realize that same-sex marriage is not enough. No, unions are not enough, but
civil union.
I think that same-sex marriage has to come as constitutional, and we need to.
They have to be allowed to be married.
Remember, that's only been a year now.
That's right.
You understand
fast
track that went on.
Oh,
so
my
if
God.
You can go that fast from calling two men and two women together abnormal. To normal in 2013, here it is in April. How fast do you think we can get a chip if I give you a dollar with the Obama phone?
Come on. They're going to do that on your driver's license soon.
Hello.
It's going to happen on your driver's license. Watch that come.
The Lord
it's
is
already.
Saying,
they can swipe your card right now
or
everything.
And your debit card. Watch your debit card, too.
Yes, they do. I mean, yes, who's that?
Local call. You know what? I don't want to be paranoid, but I got cut off from you.
That was me. That was me because you call on the line that I can't put other calls in unless I drop that first one.
Okay, well, that's cool.
But you
don't have long distance?
No.
Oh.
But the thing that
what I was going to say, too, is I was a real little girl when we did this polio vaccine. Remember they put sugar cubes? And everybody went on a Sunday. It was Sabin. It was the man that founded this. And they called it Sabin Oral Sunday. And I remember vividly going to the school with my family, and everybody got those sugar cubes. And nobody thought a thing about it. It was a beautiful thing that was supposed to keep us, you know, safe from polio. I just wonder today, you know, how many people, if we were, you know, encouraged to go to some facility and receive something, and it was told to us it was for our good.
We're doing it with the flu shot.
They're trying to do it with the flu shot.
Amen.
I mean, right now, the flu shot. You know, right now we don't know. You don't know what egg batter that is.
No, sure don't.
I could see where the populace would be very. Very comfortable just receiving these things.
It's not hard.
It's
not hard.
For the greater good.
But you have to understand, it's not hard. Hold on, 614, your mic is on. Hello?
Oh.
614?
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi, Diva.
I just called in on this lovely Friday morning. Well, afternoon.
No, you don't even know what you're talking about,
here
do
we go.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. You don't even know what we're talking about, do you?
And now I've just for the 2 minutes I've been listening in, y'all are lost, y'all cotton picking mine. I mean, y'all talking about the polio vaccine like maybe it wasn't such a good thing, and then y'all talk about the flu vaccine like maybe that's not a good thing. Talking about same-sex marriage on a fast trajectory when they've been having this fight for how long?
Boy.
I'm like, come
on. We're talking about taking the mark of the beast. Do you want some of that?
I don't want it.
Amen. Bless you, sister. Because that's what we're talking about.
I will not choose the mark of the beast. And I mean, quit scaring people.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We just liken that unto how they round you up and move you out to go get the flu shot. Everybody's running to go get it. How they had the polio vaccine. Everybody's running to go get it. Are we going to be that willing to go get a mark of the beast? That's what we're talking about. If you want to join in our conversation,
okay.
I'll be glad to have you.
And polio wasn't a good
thing.
That's
what we said. And
not at all.
And but we have to understand that it is not hard to get people to take something when they think it's a common good when they're
that's
ignorant.
That's what we're talking about.
Because
we need to warn
them. Track here.
This is
what
we're doing today. We're warning people. The Bible says those that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Are we the church? Wake up.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Into take accepting the mark of the beast either, it'll be a clear choice. So it's not going to be something that they're going to hide from us. We will know exactly what that is. I'm sorry, I didn't see anything that John the Revelator had saw, and it was written in a book that said we'll be tricked into accepting the mark of the beast.
What do you think we just said?
It didn't say no such thing.
Your people are willingly
did it. It wasn't tricked into it. What are you talking about?
But you guys
that's
are making
movie.
It seem like we're going to end up being tricked into it through some type of vaccine or something.
Nobody said that at all.
What you've got here is a situation where people are being conditioned. It's just like Pavlov's dog, okay?
Indoctrination.
And that was a perfect example of it right there.
She came right in on time,
not knowing what the heck was going on, and just talking.
Right, exactly. You get catch the tail end of something and run with it, and then you got chaos and bam.
Well, like I said, I'm listening for five minutes.
I got one statement. There was a statement my brother used to say. He said, don't sit around with your nose all snotty. If you don't know what you're talking about, ask somebody.
Mm-hmm. My computer has face recognition on it right now. You can choose to either use my face or I can put my passcode in there. But there's an option. But like you said, that technology is already in place because it can read my face. You can't sit at my computer and get in there, but I can sit there and get right in just by looking at my face. So all of this stuff, like we were saying, it's in place. We have to understand we never had two popes before. We'd have two popes at the same time almost reigning together before one was abducted from his seat. And then he's the 112th pope. We need to get in our history. We need to get in our books that tell us what is going on out here today. And we should be thankful that there's a line like this, that somebody's trying to share some truth and some wisdom with us. A trajectory or not, if we don't know what we're talking about, we should wait, listen, and find out. If we have anything intelligent to say, then we're all willing to hear from somebody.
Amen.
You can't come in a conversation and carry it and don't know what you're talking about and think somebody else want to listen to you. We've been having a very good conversation here. And I rebuke that in the name of Jesus because...
listening for only about 2 minutes, so I did put that disclaimer out there. I wasn't pretending like I knew exactly what you guys were talking about. I said it seemed. So it's not
okay,
as
but it
if
seemed,
I was saying,
but
oh, yeah,
put,
no, no,
but
hold
put
on, I'll let you finish. So let me finish. It's not as if I was saying, oh, you guys are exactly saying this. I said it seems. And I went off my opinion from what I've heard that you guys lost your capacity in mind. Now,
okay, right, right. And see, that's what you got wrong at. Excuse me, that's what you got wrong at. That's anything else you got to say is fine. But you can't put that on us. If you're talking about trajectory, don't put on us that we have lost our mind. We're trying to save somebody else from losing theirs. And particularly
no,
you,
no,
if
no,
we
no,
if need
I, this. I can say that. I can say that. Okay. I can
here's,
my
here's,
mouth.
Here's,
like,
here's,
first,
no,
right,
I don't
want to
argue with you, dear heart. That's not who I am. I'm not doing that. That's
Eva.
Not what I'm here for. I just want you to be able to warn somebody else, okay, in a situation like this, because that's how we fall. That's how we fall, because we don't have all the information. We move off half-cocked, and we have not gotten clear instructions, particularly from God. Okay, we can't move out in front of him. We can't be looking to the left and to the right. There is a specific path that we as a people should take, and we should not take it half-cocked. We should not take it ill-prepared. We should be prepared, because this thing is real and it's coming down.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how it's coming down. Know that it's coming down. That's not your concern. Stay in the place where God can protect you and let it go. Let it do what it do. But we can't move out on ignorance. That is not what God is wanting us to prepare ourselves to be. It's ignorant to what's going on out here.
Having a discussion like this will cause some people who are not clear in the word to get afraid. Because when you say things like, oh, well, look at what they're doing with the flu vaccine. Look what they did with the polio cube. Next thing, I hear that all the time, that people are saying, oh, the mark of the beast is in this, the mark of the beast is in that. So all I'm saying is, from what I heard, it seemed as if you were making a certain statement. But like I said, you cleared it up. I apologize. There is no need to go on this rant in this rave about calling somebody ignorant and somebody don't know what they're talking about. I had made it very clear that I only listened to about 2 minutes of the conversation. And then I turned around and apologized, but yet you kept going on and on and on.
Here's the situation that I've
never heard your apology, so I apologize.
Well, if you listened sometime, you would have heard. But
Here's the situation that I'm concerned with, okay? You know, I we had a conversation over Facebook about this. If you know something is not biblical, if you know something is not biblical, and you are a Christian and you support it anyway,
I'm not going to get into this argument with you because you always put words in my mouth. Where
I'm not
does it
words
go from me
mouth.
Standing against?
Would
no,
you,
what is what? If,
you
no,
let
because
me finish.
You're always saying that just because I stand against lies, have truth and bigotry that I support something. No, I don't support lies, hate, discrimination, and bigotry. That's what I don't support.
You support,
I made it very
you support
clear.
Same-sex marriage.
No. Okay, whatever. I made it very clear to you where I stand on that. And yet
you
keep
support
going
same-sex
and saying,
marriage,
okay, whatever, South Carolina. I'm not going to have an argument with you.
I'm not. But if you support same-sex marriage and
you
know God
you
says
clearly.
It's an abomination, then what? I don't get that.
I told
either
you
you're
very
deceived,
clearly.
Either you're deceived,
I
or...
I understand where you get from. I don't support that, to, yes, I do support that. I mean, I speak it clearly out of my words through my fingers, and yet you take something and make it into something that it's not. And that's why I won't have that argument with you. I already gave you my answer on
marriage?
That, and I'm not going to
answer
again.
The question.
No, I already answered you, and I'm not going to answer you again. That's that.
Diva, you put on your page that you support same-sex marriage, and you think that people should be able to marry who they want because they can't help who they want.
You're a bold-faced liar. You're a bold-faced liar.
Oh, really?
Because I never said that. Yes.
You find that statement
on my page.
Do you want me to
view
that to go back and get the conversation?
Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead and get it. Because I never sat there and specifically said that I support such a thing. I said I did not, but I understood where the legal rights stood. That's what I said. So don't take my words and twist it to mean
You don't want
legal rights.
To try to make me look
legal
like
rights.
Something that I'm not.
No, I'm not trying to make
legal
you look like something you're
not.
I asked you to answer
me questions.
One minute.
I'm going to
answer
it.
I'm
going to
change the subject, whole thing.
I'm done.
Don't
I'm
normally
done.
Watch CBS News. And I came downstairs this morning and turned the TV on and was watching something else. I was watching something recorded. When I was done, CBS News came on. I did not realize and did not know this, that the CEO of Sam's Club is a black woman.
Were you shocked?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, I'm shocked that it.
And she ain't a Republican either.
No?
I doubt it.
Well, that was my question because she was on CBS.
Yeah.
But she,
what? You were shocked?
She was a scientist that wound up as a CEO, and she said the transition was easy.
Science didn't make no money.
Well, math, she just transformed the math into
dollars.
To dollars. But, I mean, it's just like.
She's probably not a Republican if she was on CBS.
But
Tracy, I have a question. You're on the Central Committee, right?
Yeah, I am.
What's going on?
It's Larry!
Is it too early?
No, it ain't too early. I talked
okay.
about it yesterday. What's going on?
Yeah, we only got a little over an hour.
Because I thought it was settled. It was consensus.
It was.
Kasich.
Right.
Boehner.
Right.
Portman.
Right.
I mean, all this Houston, everybody
right.
lined up behind.
Right.
Borges.
Right.
Who's Tom? Is that how you say it? Z alphabet is all
Z,
I saw.
Z, we call him Tom Z.
Tom Z. Okay. Who's that?
He is a Tea Party patriot. He's a Tea Party guy. And he's a good guy. He's a nice guy, and he's well-intended. And he feels as though that the party platform, and for those of you who don't know, the party drives your that drives the Republican agenda, or the national agenda for the state of Ohio, that trickles down to the county platform, then goes back up to the ORP, that goes back up to the RNC, and that's how it works. It flows back and forth. And it was a done deal, and Tom put his name in. He would not make a bad chairman. Okay.
Okay.
Borges is a guy who's run several campaigns. Borges is a guy who is very, very, very knowledgeable. And Bennett is not going anywhere, who is the current chairman who's resigning. He's just going to step down from the everyday full-time responsibilities of the chairman of the ORP. The issue at hand is no one expected for Borges to actually have a contested race.
Right.
So now Borges needs to actually step up and not take everyone for granted but run the race. And then, because if everybody gave him their support, they're more than likely, the bunch of them are not going to change their support, but you have to respect that you not have a candidate.
How many people like you, Tracy?
I don't know.
But he needs three quarters of that.
He needs three, four. Listen, last time we had a vote, we never did come up with a chairman. A chairwoman? They still out, because we have to have three-thirds vote, and nobody could get to 20 or 32. This time they got to have 34.
Okay.
I'm not packing dinner. I'm not doing it.
So this basically is like the consensus.
Not only that, it's a private vote. It's a private, there's one thing when you are, when I tell you, Larry, I'm going to vote for you, you my dude.
Right.
And then, Bob comes in and says, will you vote for me because you know Larry this way? Well, Bob, my friend, too. I gave you my support, but Bob my cat.
Right.
It's a secret vote. It's not like we got to raise our hand.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can spell his name easier than I can spell yours.
That's
you
it for me,
34?
Right there.
What'd you say?
That's it.
So I can write down Mickey Mouse, and guess what? You don't know that I didn't vote for you, and I'd be like, I voted for you. I'm sorry you didn't win.
I
got your back. And we do it all the time.
I saw when it came out, and I thought Borges was the guy because he was unopposed, but he had the endorsement of everybody that's anybody
it's
in the high Republican.
It's easy to endorse everybody when there's nobody else.
Well, hold on, though. Didn't Kasich force, what is that, Kevin DeWine?
Yeah.
He kind of forced him out.
He didn't. No, what he did was, it was a coup.
Yeah.
That wasn't no force. That was a coup.
That was coup.
I want y'all to understand, for y'all, those of you who don't understand politics and don't get involved too often and don't, and I want black folks to really understand. See, we try to take power the wrong way. When you learn about this kind of power, the political power, and how they do it, that's a whole other ballgame. I sat back and said, ooh, they mean.
Yeah, because, I mean, I go back to DeWine. I know DeWine.
I know Kevin.
And
Kevin's cool.
And he won in the 2010.
Yeah.
I mean, every office statewide.
They don't mean nothing.
Yeah, and sure enough, then.
Track record.
And sure enough, then, because Casey come in and said, yeah.
They treated him like a black man.
Ooh. I mean, it caught me off guard because DeWine's a big name in the state. And when he did that, Kasich, everybody kind of stepped back. And I thought Bob Bennett did well by stepping in and saying, okay, I'll be the caretaker.
And he did. And now he's
But then everybody rallied around Borges. And then who's Tom Z?
Z is a Tea Party guy.
Yeah.
But see, what I fail to realize is we have to answer, those of us who are elected to this office, I can vote for Jeff. But I have to answer to everyone else in the room.
Right.
And you have to give me a reason for what I'm going to do. I can vote for Jeff, but I need to have substantial reason on why I'm voting for Jeff more than Jeff's a nice guy. That's how Democrats vote.
No, they don't. They vote for who was next in line.
Yeah, who's next in line?
Who's a union man? Yeah. No,
well, let me see. The vote is on the 25th, so you got they're going to be lobbying you.
I'm paying the cell phone bill.
Don't call in.
They're going to get you one way.
They're going to get Tracy.
If I see some carrier pigeons flying up over Youngstown, you know you won't get some.
Who's going to have that? It all goes back to,
their way to see Tracy.
The vote counts, but it's who counts those votes.
Oh, my Lord.
Really counts.
No.
So who counts
the
votes?
We count. We have people that will count the votes, but to count the votes really is actually there in front of everybody.
In front of everybody, okay.
So you can't stuff the ballot box.
So you even lied to me and told you supported me, but you voted for Jeff.
Right.
Okay.
You don't know who I'm going to vote for. Okay. And then, hold
she
on.
Might have voted for me.
And if we don't get 34, we vote again. So I can switch my vote and then vote for you, and I will be lying.
Yes.
I voted for you, then I voted for Jeff, and then I voted for Bob, and then I go back. And we'll do this all night long.
You're taking the back.
Does the smoke come up when somebody's name like
don't
they
don't give me any idea.
See that?
You know,
see that? Y'all like stop.
Black and white smoke. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
You know what?
Oh my Lord Jesus!
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a meeting on the 25th of this month, and I'm going to stop over at the ice house and get me some hot ice.
There you go.
I'm going to carry it in. And as soon as we get a chairman, I'm going to pour it in there so we can get more smoke.
There you go. Smoke going on.
I wonder if I can turn it to green or red.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Just
one
color.
Yeah, two
color
in
there.
Guess what, guys? Y'all shouldn't have told me because I'm going to clown.
My Jesus.
You know, I'm supposed to be serious.
My Lord, help us.
You know, you're supposed to be
serious. Yes, pray for this woman.
You're supposed to be serious, but you know, sometimes you just got to have some fun. And,
amen.
You know,
after is good.
Please don't go with
after
on,
is
okay?
Good.
And take your sleeping back.
Oh, no. I'm going to take my mother so I got a reason to tiptoe out. And then I'm going to do the tiptoe with the one or two fingers so I have to figure out what's going on.
You better get you some cheese and crackers and read the handwriting that ain't written on the wall, too, before you go.
What'd you say?
You better get you some cheese and crackers and read the handwriting that ain't written on the wall before you go.
No, I ain't got to carry no cheese and crackers. They feed you well.
Oh, do it.
I can't carry no cheese and crackers.
Let me tell you guys, politics is a dirty sport, but they feed you well. I've had some of the best food in my life.
Well, you know what? I applaud you, Tracy, because Does the audience know how you become a Central Committee member? Because that's a powerful spot you're in right now.
Yes,
you
it
get
is.
To
God
decide.
God bless her.
Is,
God bless her. Yes, God bless her.
Yeah,
God bless
her.
God bless
her. Who is the guy that's going to lead the party in this next cycle, which is 2014?
I think I'm going to run.
Just don't run
oh,
in Mahoney County because you can't be or Southern Columbia.
You can't
be
Republican.
Just run as an independent.
I'm running for Republican. You know, for chairman.
Oh, chairman.
That
okay.
would be fun.
Oh, that'd be special. I can see Beatrice's article right now. Or no, what's that guy?
No. I'm remember Ohio chairman.
Okay.
You have my vote, Tracy. You have my vote.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you guys supporting her because, you know what, there's a whole bunch of calls that, that at one time or another did not want to support this woman. Doing nothing, nothing.
No,
we,
no,
you know, this is
no,
just
she started driving a Yugo, and she in a Cadillac right now because I remember the Yugo that I was in that 6 years ago, Tracy.
No, say, now, Larry, you know you can go to hell for lying as well as
you. Oh,
what was I driving when you started?
I'm talking
this?
About the surrounding.
No, what was I driving when we started this?
You know, I can't remember.
What was I driving, Jeff?
I don't have the faintest idea. All I remember is what you
when
got
I
now.
When I started this little stint, I was in a BMW.
No, I'm a Sorento.
Well, I'm talking about the surroundings because the trailer that we was in. I mean, if it was cold outside, you was cold inside. Yeah. If you was hot, it was hot out. You was hot. But you know, we got air conditioning in here. Got all these microphones. I mean, it was about a third of this size.
Well, yeah, you can actually fit more than two people.
Jeff,
in
Jeff,
yeah.
Jeff, were you in the trailer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the trailer.
You started me out in the trailer.
There were three people in the trailer. There were three people in a room in a closet in a trailer.
And not only that,
plus the
you
gas.
Started me out there and then left me sometimes.
Look at God.
Ooh, she got mad at me one time.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Cause I come from about 50 minutes from here. And the show started at 6, right? I made the mistake. I was late, right? So Tracy left me alone. And it's very hard to just talk by yourself with nobody calling in anything.
Right.
Yeah, oh, it was ugly. And then she came back. She said, don't be late again. I said, I got you. I think Jen was out in the car that time.
Hold on. And Jeff, you think I'm always picking on you?
Mm. Oh, no, that was brutal. I was sweating. But
you're an equal opportunity picker on her.
Absolutely.
Tracy's a bully, y'all. I just have to tell you. She's a bully.
And she's clothing.
I was at a press conference this morning before I came on the air, and we were talking about fracking. And we have the opportunity here for great economic potential based upon the oil and gas industry. And I told them, Youngstown is a bully. And I said it out loud in the press conference. We are fighters. There's a reason why somebody comes in here and names their sports team the Scrappers. We need to understand that. We fight here. We're union people. We're union-minded, and we will go to war for what we have, what we believe in.
Amen.
The last thing the outside world needs to know, that if you come to Youngstown, you're going to come and fight first to get in when we try to get you to come and bring us money. See, get the money, then go fight. But
that's
don't
right.
fight them before they bring the cash.
That's right.
Believe that. Tracy, I saw that. I mean, it's East Liverpool, a little Youngstown. You know
right,
what
right.
happened down there? The Chamber got this company. They made ribbons. Okay, it was out of Argentina. They would ship the ribbons up here in containers and then distribute them out. But they found out it was cheaper if they left them on the rolls and then pay to tie the ribbons up here.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for a place. So Liverpool was hurting. Actually, it wasn't East Liverpool, but it was another southern Columbiana town just south of that on Route 7 before you get to Jefferson County. So if you know it, it was Wellsville. Long story short, they're sitting there talking. And this was council members, the mayor, and you got these people from Argentina. And before they said anything, showed them the proposal, he said, opened up the meeting, the head of the council said, well, I hope these are going to be good union-paying jobs. The guys from Argentina, I saw it. Close up their thing and left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying. Get it in here, and if you want to fight for something like that.
Fight 20 years.
It's
later,
not just
Youngstown.
Let's say Mahoning Valley, because look what just happened up in Warren.
Which one?
GE.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
Those people are idiots.
Hold on, Jeff, hold on. For those of you who do not know, they're listening across the country and listening to us. General Electric has a plant here, and they have a fluorescent bulb, you know, the old ones that they're trying to get rid of. That kind of bulb-making plant here.
Incandescent,
that's what it is. And they're trying, they were going to close the plant completely.
Although they're going
to. No, wait a minute. Hold on. They were going to close the plant completely. They went to them and said, please don't close the plant. This is, you know, sustainable in our community. We need the tax revenue and we need the
176 jobs.
So the union comes up and they decide that they have to ratify a new contract. They negotiate the contract, and y'all can tell them the rest.
You want to do it or you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
These idiots voted to not take the new bulb at the pay prices that the that GE was going to offer them. So they'd rather have nothing than to have little less money than they were getting to make the new bowl.
Jeff, I don't think it was
no. Well, the it was going to be for less pay, but
it was
the majority.
It was a percentage, not even a huge percentage.
I thought it was 15%.
It wasn't huge, whatever it was.
But see, the majority who voted it down had a sweeter deal in the closing benefits than to continue working.
Thank you.
Explain that.
They got bought out more.
They got bought out more. They got the early pension benefit or benefits paid for a year, and they were going to retire instead of retiring in 3 to 4 years, or 5 years. They were close enough to retirement that the buyout package was sweeter than working another 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, I think it was 2015 that it's closed anyway, and it's because of some of the stuff that's been put out in place. Those bulbs are no good anymore.
Right.
But
well,
that's
our government outlaw.
Yeah, but isn't the union supposed to be all about solidarity and we're all in this together? But you're telling me that wasn't the case with the DA.
Well, the other half of the union is going, hello.
How am I supposed to pay my bills?
You're hanging me out.
Do y'all understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and then we're going to get the new line.
So now they don't have
nothing.
They're going to close the whole plant.
They have nothing?
Has GE said they're going to close the plant?
They're going to.
Well, we're done.
They say we're done, but they if they get that contract ratified, they'll probably be done in 2015 anyway, from what I heard.
Okay.
That's what I mean. They're not promising anything beyond 2015.
Okay.
Now, if they can get another market or something like that, but that at least gives you 3 years or 2 years to do that.
To prepare.
Instead of just these younger guys, I guess the way that it is, if you don't have that time in there, you're SOL.
But you know what? Not necessarily, because I will say this. It all depends upon the resurgence of the community. Because if we actually become industry-minded and business-minded in the community, and we really start, if they start seeing things grow and things spurring off, if we really go after the tech belt mentality, if we actually start seeing more and more companies start coming into the valley, that means General Electric is not going to move as fast.
Not necessarily, because see, GE's markets aren't going to be our market. They're not sending product to our market. They're sending the product out. Period. Jeffrey Immelt sent 30,000 jobs overseas last year.
But we're saying the cost of doing business here in the Mahoning Valley in a good environment is a great place for distribution, no matter what you're doing.
Well, because you're right here in the middle of everything. But you look at, and you know, John asked me to be on the board at Eastern Gateway.
Right.
And I've been hounding that because John's for that, so
right.
am I. But we're having problems. Like John's telling these fracking companies, yeah, you come in here, I'm going to try to make it as easy as I can. Yeah, you're going to have to pay this severance tax, and we're going to be really due diligent on giving you those permits. But he's telling these companies, right, you need to hire Ohio workers instead of bringing all these guys in from Oklahoma and Texas like that.
Right.
Well, the companies now are turning around and telling them, A, you don't have the qualified people.
That's right.
And B, even if they are qualified, you can't get them through the drug testing. You know what I mean? Now, I can't do anything about the drug problem, but on what Eastern's doing, and they have a thing, they have a grant that they applied for through the fracking, and they're training these guys to be able to do that, whether it's the GIS where these guys are actually mapping out where these pipes are being laid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I heard some great news the other day, V&M, they put $1 billion into that plant.
Yeah.
It's not big enough. They can't handle,
even with this new one,
they're going to have to expand again.
Right.
So these are all good things. So why make it hard on these drilling companies to come in?
Because we don't understand the economic feasibility of it. And we do not understand how it, you know, the Mahoning Valley has to stand up and grow up. We can no longer be coddled by society any longer.
Right.
We're going to have to take responsibility and accountability, and then we're going to have to start getting people in here that are a good brain trust to be political leaders.
Well, yeah, but you need that throughout the state, because you're getting a problem locally because of what the state is saying. They're the one that's putting the tax on.
But the tax is not the problem.
They're used to paying that.
That's not
yeah, but you were saying something that they added. was a severance.
No, no, we're talking about what goes on in the city of Youngstown doing dealing with the low,
frackers.
Just dealing with
Nasty frackers.
You know, here in Mahoning Valley, if we go to, I've watched them come after companies before they even broke ground with a union card.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying unions don't have a place, but what I am saying is not all your unions need to be everywhere.
No.
Call centers need to have a union.
Yeah.
Because of how they, because of the people, you need to have, because they treat people by how they pay people, and they need to have, they need to have a union.
Right. Animals.
Yeah.
if you get a well-run company, like V&M is non-union, they treat their employees well. They pay them a lot, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They get a bonus check every month on based on production. Them guys are all doing well. I know a bunch of them.
They're based on performance.
They're based on performance, but, I mean, they can't make that steal fast enough for all the stuff.
But we got to grow up here.
Yeah, we got to grow up. I agree with you.
We got to grow up.
It's not just the Mahoning Valley. That goes all the way up and down. Steubenville, East Liverpool, Wells.
It's all the water.
That river water.
That's it, the water.
Darn Pittsburgh, you know.
A friend of mine who's in the industry of manufacturing attended a meeting where the large pre-company and coming in to set up for the fracking were devastated when they tried to find large manufacturing to work on machines. And they were down in the Pittsburgh area, and they go, there's nothing here.
Well, the reason why they're not in Pittsburgh is because the same bill that they have, and from my understanding is, and I may be somewhat skewed, but the same charter amendment that they have on the ballot May 7th is the same one they put in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh shot it down, and they took all of their business outside of the whole county area.
Everywhere around Allegheny, they're drilling.
Remember, you don't have to be in the area to get to suck the gas out, because you're going down far enough that you don't have to be there.
I'm just talking about, they were talking about there's no infrastructure. They go, there's not enough places. They don't want to build the stuff in Texas and haul it up here.
Or if they bring it up here and something goes wrong with it, they don't have to wait for that lead time to get it here. There's
right.
My wife who's listening, she works at a trucking company, Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right down the road from her is a guy that's all he does, welding. He's a machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
They're so busy. I mean, there's trucks in and out of there all day, and that guy can't do his other. He's hiring people. You know what I mean? Just for that, if a pump goes down, they need it fixed right now.
Believe that the infrastructure, there's not enough steel supply. There's not enough machine shops to handle large equipment up here.
Well,
and to get everything running.
We didn't have the opportunity because they had so many that went out of business.
Right.
But those
that's
are that
good one.
But
the opportunities.
The opportunities.
Oh, I love it.
You need, well, you need to write that one down. If you made that one up, you better call it.
Opportunities.
You better,
opportunities.
Yeah, you better call the state and do that one real quick.
You got to have the opportunities.
$25.
No, that's not $25. You got to get a trademark.
That's what I'm saying.
No. That's
$50.
To the federal government.
No, you hold it with the state first.
Intellectual property.
Intellectual property. Trademark.
Opportunity. You don't do it, I'm going to do it.
Opportunity. Dude, Josie, how's it going in your neck of the woods?
I was just sitting here thinking, I'm originally from Danville, Virginia, and like you said, you have to go up there and in Ohio. They took the Dan River out of Danville, and that was the infrastructure, and sent it to China. So, you know, if you got something going on like that, you really have to pay attention and grow up and save those plants.
You know, the one thing that always just makes me grind my teeth when they talk about that these companies get tax credits for moving to China. I could get a tax credit if I move my business from Youngstown to East Liverpool. It's the same tax credit that they take advantage of.
If you move it across the street from where you're at now, you get the same
tax credit. There's not a tax credit just specifically to move it to China or Mexico.
Right.
It's the same tax code that they're dealing with that they use.
Labor costs are the reason why they're moving to China and to be closer to world markets as well.
One distribution,
we
absolutely.
We don't understand that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then we have to understand also that America has become dependent upon $20 irons that you don't take care of, and when it goes out, you throw it out.
We'll get you another one.
And because of that, and then we have this minimum wage thing that we have driven
Manufacturing goes up every time minimum wage goes up.
Absolutely.
Everything moves. Basically. So when you're paying $10 to flip the burger, everybody makes $20 to go get the burger.
Well, even better than that, though. The last minimum wage increase,
yes.
I didn't catch this right away. I'll pick on Wendy's.
I don't eat cheese no more.
Well, they used to have a five-piece chicken nugget thing
for
$1. It's four-piece now.
Oh, no.
So they don't always raise their...
Ladies, have you gone to the grocery store and bought a five-pound bag of sugar and looked down and found out it was four?
That's right. You thought you was buying five.
Have you noticed that?
Yes, I did.
I noticed. My wife and I
say, consumers beware, because that's going on everywhere.
Definitely not the same size that they was just a couple years back.
We were
conditioned, now we don't look. You see, that's what they do.
Crazy.
They condition you, they pull a stunt, you go for it, and then it's too late to do anything about it because everybody's, you know, all off in it, and nobody was ever apprised of what was going on. That's why we have to pay attention.
That was a sexist statement you just made.
And sue me.
You saying that like men don't go to the grocery store and buy sugar. I mean, them go to the all the time.
I agree with you, Dr. Lyon.
I didn't catch that.
Thank you, brother, for opening our eyes and setting the brothers free up here.
I thought you were my friend.
Yeah.
Why you gotta throw me under the bus like that?
Well, did y'all see it when y'all went to the store to get it?
They've always attacked that minimum wage the wrong way. I mean, you look out, and you don't even have to go far. Right here in the United States, go out to North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
If any employer in North Dakota is paying $7.85 per hour to work there right now, they can't even get people in the door.
Can't get them in.
Because it's virtual zero unemployment out there because of all the fracking that's going on in that Balkan field out there. They're paying people right now to go work at Walmart to stock the shelves $16, $17 an hour.
In 2003, I went up to New England on a motorcycle, and I took a picture of it. A sign at McDonald's, this 2003, was offering $13 an hour because it was summer and the college students were gone.
There's an instructor at one of the technical schools, and He teaches MIG, TIG, and all that welding.
Welding.
They sent him a application, and he ran it off, and he's taking applications right now for his graduating welding students. They're going out there, and once they get certified, after they take their test and get certified, if they go to North Dakota, these guys are hiring them straight up. They're giving them a stipend. They're giving them the travel. And these guys are going out there starting out making $25 an hour. Plus, if they work a different shift or the late shift, they give them a 35% shift differential.
Premium.
Now, that's crazy.
That ain't crazy. That's cold.
That's why Obama should be fast tracking the Keystone Pipeline today. You know,
yesterday,
and working on this fracking in town because that's the only place to hire right now.
Well, folks, you have to understand you have a lot of natural resources in Ohio and Pennsylvania right there locked up together. And they've got to do something. They've got to do something to man it and control it and see to it that it does not go for naught.
They don't want it. Listen, I don't know who the someone or something is, and I'm not going to put the P word on them.
I didn't know what to either. I didn't.
But what I'm going to say is there's somebody somewhere that is somehow they do not want America to be energy independent. Within our own government, they do not want us to be independent on our own, and nor do they want America to thrive.
Because
some of the people and some of the decisions that have been made in the last 30 years are just completely just stupid.
It's really not stupid if you look at what the plan is. And I hate to say it, like I said, don't forget, who created OPEC?
Right now.
Henry Kissinger. Okay, mm-hmm. Now, Henry Kissinger created OPEC, and they have a plan. See, OPEC only has millions of barrels left, and we have trillions of barrels of oil up under our source here. The only other country that has as many trillions as us is Chavez's country, okay, that we know of.
Venezuela.
So therefore, their plan was all along is to drain the Middle East dry and then become the number one supplier of oil.
I've always believed that.
And that's what Kissinger and them created at that time.
Jeff, listen. Kissinger,
Gore. Clinton, Al Gore is on the other side of things.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Clinton, Obama, and whomever else.
Mm-hmm.
This plan, this thing is way bigger than that.
Well, you follow the money.
I don't see how you could, you think it's bigger than that, because when that changes, your currency is going to change as well.
Oh,
so
yes.
Therefore, it's going to dishevel the whole world. You have to understand that.
And what I'm saying, but when you dishevel, you know, there's more to this, because Kissinger is getting ready to die. So now, then who carries the ball if he's there to implement the plan?
He did his job. He put it in place. Yeah. And he's lived a good life, but you follow the money.
He's not running the
plan. Why is the Keystone Pipeline being so far pushed back?
Right.
Okay. Who owns the rail line? Because the Canadians are going to sell it. They'd rather sell it to us, but they're going to sell it.
It's being sold by rail right now.
It's going to go on a rail, and it's going to go to port out of back to China, right? Who owns the only rail line from Alberta to British Columbia to get to the port?
And from rail line to go down south
down
to get
to, south,
the,
down to, down
get
to Texas.
The, Texas.
Who owns that? The wizard, the Oracle of Omaha, the president's number one, where he was telling you he pays
more taxes than his secretary.
Yeah.
The same one who just bought Heinz ketchup?
Berkshire Hathaway owns all of those lines. Burlington, Northern Canada.
There it is.
Wait a minute. The guy who just bought the Hinesville people who just bought Carrie's business.
Whoops, there
Carrie's
it is.
Wife.
Same thing.
The Oracle. The guy that sat right next to Michelle.
Buffett that made the crazy Buffett rule while he's fighting the government to pay the $1 billion that he owes.
He owes $1 billion in taxes. He's fighting that, but then he was
fighting
complaining because his secretary paid more. Percentage-wise in taxes than he did. But he owns that. Berkshire Hathaway owns those two rail lines.
It was a set-up lie.
It's the only one.
100% lie. And
y'all getting like Mike Claret.
It's the truth.
And
you got to know the player and the games that they're playing.
This was a plan to
get rid of God and the things that we're doing now. That was their plan back then because they said... and this is with Mr. Kissinger and all these other guys, because they're progressives. This is what they said. We have to get rid of the God of the Americans, because that is the strongest religion that there is, and the people that believe in that will not allow. That's why they're allowing Islam to do so much right now. They want Islam to swallow up Christianity, so they think, and when they swallow it up, then they'll go ahead and shut them off. They'll cut them off because they won't need them anymore. That's what they're doing, and they're doing it, and they're ingrained in our society. They're ingrained in our government.
Oh,
these
no.
people are have a plan.
Yes,
they
do. Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
I see Chicago's on this. Before I bring him up, he's going to go black anyhow.
Chicago. Wow.
So I might as well go there. If that all be the case,
mm-hmm.
And Bob, you're the white guy in the room today, and we got a couple of white listeners out there. So I want y'all to just stay with me through this. Where are we at?
You're at the place just before the sister said the word in Ezekiel about there was a nation far in the distance dwelling comfortably. You're about to be in a place where the United States is going to prosper again. They believe it's going to happen.
I was talking about black people.
Like I said.
Are they
going
to prosper?
Of course they're going to prosper. Because
not rising,
exactly, never as much in America, because don't forget what the black code said. Black code said that you get to rise, but not as high as the white man.
But you missed my point.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? Because see, right now,
if you look at
our drive, right now, we're smoking more reefer. We're pulling down our pants further. and we're getting more tattoos, we're making more babies, but we're not getting educated on anything or anybody, and we're still dying as rapidly in the streets as we were as ever before.
Three times as many times.
I'm not done yet. And our grandmamas are going to church, but they're not taking their kids no more.
Mm.
And so they don't know the God. They don't know the Bible. They don't have a sense of morality, and we are watching them accept everything that comes their way because President Obama said it.
Thank you, Jesus. I just want to know.
See, I've always been taught to respect authority, but I can always question what they do.
Sure.
My question is, even though he is put in power, and I pray for the president,
sure,
I still question things that I disagree with that goes according to my faith and my belief and what my stand is. And they are blindfolding themselves and they're following this Pied Piper off the cliff.
Well,
and the preachers are leading the way based on a dollar bill.
And the Bible says, what? In the end times, heresies must be preached so that he that is approved will be approved. You're going to get these non-pastoring pastors, these non-teaching teachers, and they're going to lead you in these ways. If you don't...
I know that. The question is, where are we?
I just told you where you're at.
Where?
You're in the nexus of it all, and you have to wake up. If you wake up as a people, there just might be somewhere where you can get out the way at.
692, I'm trying to get your mic on, and my computers are really tripping up. 692, your mic.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Tracy?
Yes.
Hey, did you go to that meeting this morning, huh? I was wanting to go to that, and I had some inspection problems I had to take care of this morning. But I'm glad you got to go to it.
Yes, I was there. It was a well-attended.
You know, that business is already coming to this area, whether the people in Youngstown like it or not. I mean, it's
right.
Coming. They didn't invest that kind of billions of dollars in this area not to come. I think the people in Youngstown, once they get used to knowing what fracking is about, they're going to accept it. I mean, there's no problem there. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is this GE plan up in Warren. Now, I'm willing to bet you, besides a few of the maintenance people at work there, that they get other jobs and stuff when they close that place down, within 5 years, 90% of them people that are working there will not be making $14 an hour. They're not going to make that much money. They're crazy to shut that place down over this contract negotiation. A little bit in a bird in the bush is worth two. One in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know what I'm saying?
So why didn't they not ratify that contract? Why did they vote against it? What would make you just say no?
Some of the people that have the seniority, that they can get more money out from their union and from GE by shutting it down. They're looking at the short-term gain. They're not looking at maybe they got some grandkids someday that might want to work there, or some of the neighbors' kids might want to work there. They could build that facility back up, but they're not even going to give it a chance.
That's sad, isn't it?
They interviewed
yes,
a gentleman who was generational. His father worked there.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, and they interviewed him, and he goes, we might have to move.
Hmm.
I don't think, again, but that goes to the mindset and the education and the knowledge base of the people in the community. Where the people, for the lack of knowledge, people perish.
Perish, yes.
And it is really not about a formal education that you have to have, but you have to have a knowledge point so that you can get things done. I think we were talking earlier this week about people who don't have college degrees and actually can't read, but they were masters of a lot of things in our families. We have relatives. We have uncles that they can't read, see Dick run down the street, but they can hear a car and tell you what's wrong. And then go out and work on the water heater and then work on everything else around the house. Today, we've got more technology. We've got more access to information, and we can't get anything done. And any time that you go and you don't have common sense to ratify a contract and make a company move away from you for a couple pennies, that's just dumb.
It's heartbreaking, you know. And we don't need everyone with a college education. We need some people to get into the trade schools and learn trades and crafts, welding, pipe fitting, electrical work, carpentry work, cement work. These are the kind of people we need to build up, and we've been working on that. And we've got a good start on it right now. But then, this is kind of what some of the unions have done to their own employees. They kind of shot them in the back when they're not looking. I mean, because it's seniority rules. It isn't necessarily the best worker or the best person or that's on the floor. It's the one with the most seniority. And that's what's taking long for school systems today.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Mm. Yeah.
And I certainly appreciate listening to your show. It's very educational, and it certainly gets with a broad insight out to this area that we need. So thank you very much.
I appreciate you, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll listen to you on the radio. So
Right, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. It won't be a long break, but it'll be a break. We'll see you in a minute.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
When you drive without car insurance, one accident could cost you everything. So protect yourself from potential financial ruin. Buy affordable state minimum coverage from Safe Auto. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe, spend less.
With all of the choices and customizable settings on the new generation of adjustable clubs, you need an experienced partner to help dial them in just for you. For over 45 years, GolfSmith has been dedicated to helping golfers find the right gear and their best game, all for the guaranteed lowest prices. Don't let your old equipment hold you back. Come in today and get 50% more for your trade-in toward the latest adjustable gears. Only at GolfSmith.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th.
starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We're at the end of the day. We've got about 25 minutes before we get closed out. I've got Larry and Jeff and Bob in studio. I believe New Jersey, I want to thank you for calling in. We do this here every day.
Okay.
And we're here Monday through Friday every day. For
okay,
3 hours
o'clock.
A day, 12 to 3,
okay.
Eastern time. And you
Amen.
Are always welcome to call in and join us and hang out with us. I appreciate you. I want to thank some of my sponsors that I do not have commercials for because I am a wolf and a flake. It is the truth. I'm a wolf. Dolls, Antiques and All, Barbie Doll, I need to get your commercial together and I'm going to do that. But she has an antique furniture and collectible store. It is located on the corner of Western Reserve and South Avenue across from Dunkin' Donuts out there. Go out and see them. They're open during the day, Monday through Friday. I promise you, they sell there. She has jewelry. She has knickknacks. She has furniture. She has bedroom furniture. She has, you'll find a complete antique. It's an antique store. And go out there and say hi and tell them you've heard it on Tracy and Friends. Also, got some friends down in Columbia and down in North Lima. And today and tomorrow, they got a garage sale. And it's an indoor garage sale on a great sunny day on the corner. It's 11-11734 South Avenue Extension. Is that South Avenue Extension? Oh, that's right, huh? That'll confuse people, won't it?
Yeah.
South Avenue Extension. And if I were you and those of you who are in the Mahoning Valley, if you go straight down Market Street, right there when you get to South Avenue Extension, look to the right, and they're standing right there. And they have a wonderful – I have not gone through the whole store yet because I didn't have enough time. I had only about 40 minutes, and it'll take you about an hour and a half to get through the whole store if you look at every booth. But they actually are having a garage sale at a resale shop. So go out there, and if you're into antiques and furniture and glassware and collectibles and anything on that order, use stuff. If you're a junker like me, I got you. Yeah,
is it right on the corner?
It's right on the corner.
Oh, okay. It's
right across from Jay's Hot Dog.
Oh, okay.
Right on the corner of Jay's Hot Dog. This is Jay's Hot Dog in North Lima.
Wow, that's right there.
Right there.
Right on the corner.
Right
Market
on the corner.
On South Avenue.
That's South Avenue Extension, right down the street from Sheely's.
I don't know why that just completely baffles me.
Jay's Hot Dog right there. And so I've been trying to get there. I stopped in. So stop out and see him. Tell me you heard on Tracy and Friends and tell him I said hi. I'm going to go out tomorrow sometime on my way to Sticks' house.
Oh, you're going to see Sticks?
I'm going to Sticks' garage.
Hey, Sticks is the man. He is the man.
I want to thank Ambassador Technology and the computer guy. He is, when I need to get something done on Blog Talk and I can't get it done because I forget to do something, I'll call him up and he'll change stuff for me and make it right and send my show out and make sure it gets broadcasted. So I want you guys to know that if you need social media information, if you want to try to how to spread things out on Facebook, then you want to call the computer guy. You want to call him. Chicago, what you want to say?
Hello?
Somebody's breathing in their microphone.
Hello?
Hey, Chicago.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Chicago, are you my friend on Facebook?
No.
Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
So why are you not my friend?
I don't know.
I'm listening.
I don't know.
Somebody's giving me some dark data in here.
What'd you say?
Somebody fell asleep on your show.
I know. So Chicago, tell me, why are you not my friend on Facebook?
I don't
I don't know Tracy. I'm just not.
He don't want to be my friend, y'all.
I'm on your show today.
I know you're on my show today. I want to know why you're not my friend. So what's new in Chicago? What's going on out there?
Nothing too much. I guess they're trying to replace Jesse Jackson.
I had a brother here on Tuesday, and I let him fly with that. But if you really think they're going to put a Republican in Jesse Jackson's spot.
In Chicago.
Woo. Listen, that's some tough crack y'all smoking.
That's when you would know there was a gun.
Have a glass of that Kool-Aid.
Man, that Kool-Aid. That's crack.
You couldn't get a Republican in that spot with a greasy shoehorn.
If you think you're going to put the congressional district of Jesse Jackson Jr. and you're going to put a Republican as a, I don't care what Buster to say, homie, you got back at him.
We had Halverson out here. She governed more like an independent, but Rom's good friend, the guy out in New York, Bloomberg, his good friend, bought the election out here. So,
well, you have to realize, Rahm Emanuel, that's my boy. Rahm Emanuel, my boy, that's my
yeah,
guy.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he's cool. Alabama, what's going on, Doc?
Ain't nothing much. I hear y'all talking about Chicago. I got a friend of mine from here. He was just up there last week. And he's at a stop sign, man. He said he was fighting. He was in the south side. And guys were fighting. And one of the guys fell on the ground and his gun fell out. He was getting beat up and stood up with his gun, started shooting it. It's just crazy. It's just a world. It's just a war zone out there, man. I ain't know that. I mean, you hear the story, but. Yeah, it's Chicago.
He wanted to go to prison, didn't he?
I mean, it wasn't a big deal, though. He said people was acting like it wasn't a big deal. He was shooting in the air. Everybody just, they kind of bagged up. But he said the guy just took out running. He just couldn't believe it. You know, we don't see that type of stuff unless you at the club, per se. And the club, they act crazy at the club when they get drunk. Certain types of clubs, certain types of music. But that's another story. But,
Let me give you this one. 1972 was the first time I ever got pickpocketed. I was walking down from the Roberts Motel in Chicago, and a cat cut my front pocket off of my jeans, and my wallet obviously fell out because it was gone. He cut it, and I did not know it was cut. Now, that's back in 1972, okay? Chicago ain't nothing to mess with.
South side of Chicago.
You know, Chicago was supposed to be kind of like what Atlanta is today. I hate to see Chicago going down because I say it was founded by a black guy. Chicago is just, you know, I hate to hear all this stuff. Every time I turn around, something bad happening up there, folks getting, babies getting killed. I mean, it's just crazy, man.
I'm just telling you, Chicago's. I love Chicago. I love it in the summertime.
Downtown with the lights.
I love it.
I lived in Chicago for 7 years.
Man,
Chicago.
You couldn't pay me to go back.
No,
she makes me go there.
Visit,
it's nice.
Because they used to have this little chain of these little restaurants called Ronnie's Steakhouse. Man, I loved me some Ronnie's Steakhouse. You can get a nice cheap steak right in front of you.
Oh, that's good
baked
food.
Baked potato. I mean, I lived for Ronnie's Steakhouse.
Then the Taste of Chicago, there's a nice event right downtown there. It's nice.
Yeah, I know that's right.
But you couldn't pay me to go back there and live.
Took my wife to the original Martin's on Mother's Day
last 2 years. You could have taken your friend. I'd have gone with you anyway.
I would like to go to Jay Diamond's out there.
I need to go get in my room, Chris Morton's, any of them. It's above my pay grade.
Jay Diamond's.
Keep paying me and I'll take you. I learned it from you.
Just me and you will get a date and we'll fly to Chicago and go to Morton's.
Some people are just over the top.
This is NPR radio, you guys. No, not National Public Radio. This is no pay radio.
We don't get funny.
We don't get no funny. Somebody, if you want to throw a check at us, throw it, throw it. We'll take it.
Yeah.
But I like this.
Yeah.
What?
Pat me,
every time to not make no money?
You know, you guys are so rude. You hear him talking about my friend?
I just let him be.
No pay radio. Crazy not right. You working like rented Hebrew slaves. Rented Hebrew.
Rented. No,
don't
dead.
You gotta get
no,
paid to get rented?
No.
No, y'all didn't go there.
What about paid volunteers?
Hold on. No. Wait a minute. This is you know what this is, and this is called investment.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
And where I cannot pay you, I am keeping track of your time.
Yeah.
So that when I get to where I'm going,
mm-hmm.
I will not forget the people who helped me get there.
Sure, well, let's call
in.
I hope it with $100 million megabucks.
It's not $100 million megabucks. You know, listen, it's not $100 million megabucks. It is. If you get $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tie to the people who help you get there, especially when they put their sweat equity in?
No, you tie to God, then give them something too.
Tie means nothing but 10.
I know.
So when you the problem with people is we not only forget where we came from, but we even forget the people who helped us get to where they're
always
going.
Right.
Yeah, and
true.
Did you know that the church draws $3 billion a week? Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
Alabama,
that's crazy.
Did you watch Under Shepherd the other day?
Y'all
need to go.
So
you got it's a movie that Russ Parr did. You got to go check it out.
Man,
I'm here to tell you.
You know what? I threw up through several parts of it, but
was it true?
It was no. I mean, it was
exaggerated. It wasn't true.
It was. It depends on what part of the black church you're talking about, because certain parts of the black church aren't going to be that secular, because they were totally secular. They weren't spiritual one iota. There was no spiritualness going on.
I can't say all that. I can't say everything out loud. I'm going to do
that. Yeah, I feel you.
What does the movie encompass? What's it about?
It's about black church life, and you need to go Google it and then watch it online or find where it's going to be or get the DVD, because they got a bootleg somewhere, I know.
Okay.
It's called Under Shepherd.
It's called Under Shepherd.
Yeah.
And it's very deep, Under Shepherd. It's very, very deep in context, because it's not necessarily true, and it's overly exaggerated, but you can see a lot that you've ever seen if you know anything about it in it. And the sad thing is, you should be ashamed that you can see anything about it that might remotely be honest, because that should have been a farce. Just like the little girls, they got the pastor's daughters on Lifetime.
Oh, yeah,
I
watched
that. See, I don't understand a pastor's daughter, everybody divorced, and a little black girl, she gets to, like, tell everybody off in her house and slam doors and stomp her feet. I'm confused.
And go to the hotel with the boys.
I'm so confused.
I mean, but you got editors on these shows, so, I mean,
that lets you know off the
top.
No. It ain't about editing. I'm talking about what they didn't edit out. See, stomping
right.
your feet. Clapping your hands and slamming some doors in a black preacher's house ought to get you killed.
Yes, it ought.
At least flogged.
Yeah, at least flogged.
I mean, what y'all think about the guy going to jail for beating his daughter for dancing on TV?
I slammed my door. I've never slammed a door because I wasn't allowed to slam doors.
And you only slammed
one. Your own door.
Yeah, that's all you got was one time, because then you remember the what was it, the whooping. That was the Ohio River whooping.
A
whooping?
Right.
Yeah, that still happens in my household.
A whooping?
I tell you what, my youngest, or second middle daughter, Zoe, did that. Bat talk and went in her room and slammed that door, and before the door could stop shaking, Jen was in there with a wooden spoon.
A wooden spoon?
A wooden spoon, the one you stir.
And a wooden spoon?
She beat Zoe with a wooden spoon. It was one of the ones where I was sitting there. I was like, okay, I know she deserves it, but I better stop Jen before it gets real bad.
You're going to have to pay me, because I'm a sale.
You can tell. I got in the middle. There was a video I put on the other day on Facebook. It had this guy, his two daughters. I think they were 12 and 13. And did
that's
this.
What I was just talking about.
Yeah. And this guy, I mean, he whipped him with a extension cord.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, you got to watch it. I laughed.
Extension cord.
Oh, no. He went to jail, though. He's in jail now.
These two little girls.
He would have been jail for that. The moment.
And our daughter Zoe's walking. If you did that, I'd call Children's Protection Services. And you just saw Jen that was thinking about getting a wooden spoon. This guy went off on these two little girls, and I was like, oh, I remember those because I got a couple of those.
Oh, man.
I'd call them for them to come get them in the body bag.
What'd you say?
I'd call Children's Protective Services. Y'all better come
get
them.
There you go.
They can't stay here.
They put the guy in jail for that. I don't think that's right. They put him in jail and the daughter. And I'm sitting like, your daughter going to wind up on Worldstar. Twerking in some rap video, you know, I think that's good. I think, you know, you go to these strip clubs, their parents didn't whip them. That's the ones that didn't get a whipping. They in the strip club twerking. So
yeah, if I was a lawyer, I'd represent that guy pro bono because, I mean, he did. He went
but
off.
It was the mom. The girl's mom is the one that snitched on him and got him put in jail. I mean, so she's enabling the ratchet behavior. So I want to put him in jail.
Here it is. You have the breakdown of a nation on purpose, where they taught you back in the late 60s, early 70s, that it is wrong to beat your children or whip your child, because if you spank them, they're going to learn how to hit. And they learn how to hit anyway. That's a defense and an offensive measure of man. They're going to hit.
What year did you say that come in?
The late 60s, early 70s.
Mr. Long, my dad did not get
he
that. He did not.
My mother didn't either.
Because I was like, man, I missed it. He missed something.
What year was that, Jeff? Late 60s, early
70s. Guess what, Jeff? My mama didn't get that.
I know that. Mine didn't either.
My mom heard about it. And she told me when I brought Dr. Spock up, I think that got me hit, too. So I know.
Wait. When Dr. Spock came
tomorrow.
In.
Huh?
Knock me into tomorrow.
That's right. You know, in fact, I'm here right now because of something my mother did in 74.
You know what? I gotta tell y'all a secret. You don't get a good sleep until you get a whooping. Seriously, when you were a kid and you got a whooping, you can't tell me because you cried your way to sleep. That was a good sleep.
You cried until the same time it was all said and done. You were
so
like,
glad to go to sleep. You know what to do.
With the aspirin you took for that headache. Oh, I got a headache after crying that long.
That's not what ached on me.
Hold on,
go ahead,
New Jersey. What did you say?
I said, you quiet yourself to say, yeah, that's a good thing. Mike wanted me to say she would rearrange our dental pattern. All but good. Knock your teeth down your throat.
Absolutely. Alabama, you said something, too.
No, that was it. I just think that's, you know, kind of sad when I see that. And I think, you know, in the South, in Atlanta, you know, strippers actually becoming a respectable, so to speak, career. So it's just kind of, we're going 360. We're going in the wrong direction right now. In my mind, I think we are.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to, because I remember this. They always would whip me, especially. I mean, there was a time when I would beg my mom to whip me. I didn't want dad touching me. But I remember them. Don't they would whip me like that, and then they was like, don't cry. I mean, what do you mean, cry?
This is going to hurt me more than you.
Yeah, right.
That was the craziest statement I ever heard of.
Yeah,
this is going to hurt me more than you.
I really want to tell her, well, let me help you.
Yeah, let me. yeah. You thought about that. You didn't say that.
Not out loud.
Not out loud.
She told me, she said, Mr. Plater, you got a whooping coming. Go get me a switch.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. That's
free. Yeah,
Lilac. So I went out and got this little thing.
No.
Oh, Lila.
Messed up.
She went out and got half the tree. She would come in and go.
Yes.
Except a couple in the hand.
Yes.
Just to get me out of here. Those skin capsules will sting a little more, if you ask me. Let me hit you with those skin.
What'd you say, Alabama? We can't hear you.
The skinny, the slimmer, a lot of times they swing that real fast. It stings. It kind of burns. Whereas a big one, it'll bruise you, but you can kind of handle it. It's a little bit more blunt. But when you take one of those skinny ones, it stings, man.
I'm telling you.
I had a
you remember, everybody had hedges.
Mm.
and the hedges had a little, you could go out there and you could clip one off, and they stripped it, like you said, and it would have a little whip to it. And she'd come in there, and I'd have a little whelp. Can you imagine what would happen today if you went back to school tonight with a little whelp?
No, it's the opposite, because you got paddled in school and got it at home. Mm-hmm. Now you get paddled at home, and the school calls police.
That's right.
Yeah.
My grandparents had every bush known to man. And in our yard was every bush and every tree known to man. I got beat with every kind of tree that there is. I know Adam and I will be able to talk when we get to heaven, because he'll say, I saw you get beat with that bush.
Yeah, it's going to be a conversation about
who's this guy against Dr. Spock?
Dr. Spock.
I'm going to Google him tonight and let my dad watch it.
Before he died, he repented of what he said. He said, you know what? I was wrong. And after all his parents lost his kids, you got kids in the graveyard now and in prison because they didn't get their behind whipped when they were young for doing bad stuff.
Audie had Occupy Wall Street. Don't want to pay for the loan.
That's right. That's what those idiots are. They're on Ed and I ain't going to say the anti-frack people and all that.
That's their parents.
I'll leave that alone.
Occupy Wall Street.
That's what they do, but the Bible says that the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And that does not mean to beat your kids bloody, but it does mean to correct them. And if you don't correct your children, they're going to have issues later when people around them start to correct them.
My mama, wait a minute, so I'm very, very well corrected.
What I'm saying, you don't step out of the boundary too much.
You know what, but you see it in the, you see it manifested in the young people today.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of respect that they have for themselves, let alone for other people. I was talking on yesterday, and we were talking about young ladies. You know, it takes a lot for a girl to take off her clothes and broadcast it. I don't think you really understand. When you teach your child that their body should be covered, it's kind of hard for them to go naked on a strip pole.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot to go, even to a swimming, you want to look nice, and you'll push the envelope, but you won't be so nice to where you're skanky because you've been taught something. Today, we have not defined our young men or our young ladies with a rod and with correction so that they have self-worth about who they are. Because people with self-worth have respect for themselves, and they just don't go out and just do anything. And you can see where the lack of correction has destroyed our young people and our future.
Well, like Jeff said, I mean, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it.
Somebody else is going to do it.
And a lot of times, you don't want to be there.
I put a proposal today
that we must, you know, we must pray for our children at home before we even send them to school, and should teach them, you know, who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, so they have the opportunity to exercise the inherent right of God's provisions for them. We can't, and then we want to know what's wrong with them. We don't teach them nothing. We don't teach them about the Bible. We don't teach them about God and anything. We set them in these institutions, and they come out. We want to know what's wrong with them. And the next thing you know, we've been in jail.
Wrong?
You know, we got our face all frowned up because we got to go to the penitentiary. You know, if you train a child in the way that it would go, it won't depart from it. You know,
in
Proverbs 22, it tells us that. You know, we
and
have
you
to
know
pay
what?
Attention.
You can tell by the people what happens in their house when their kids get old.
Amen. Amen.
No, you can't.
The Bible will not, the word will not return void, but that's another issue.
No, it will not. Exactly.
Listen, I
got to
announce something. Halle Berry's pregnant again.
Halle Berry.
No, seriously. Now, you got to understand, Beyonce's nuts. She's talking about Bishes, B-I-S-H-E-S.
Yeah.
A new song. Halle Berry's pregnant by another guy called the boyfriend.
Yeah, that's the
guy.
Beyonce talking about bow to me, bow down. Everybody bow down to Beyonce.
I'm not bound down. And they tell me that I guess something happened over in Europe, and we'll probably talk about this on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all be here Monday.
Unless Korea launches the nukes at us.
Nothing hits Youngstown, so don't worry about it.
Do it on Youngstown.
You come back and hang out with us on Monday.
I will be right back.
You guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. And Larry, thanks for coming in. Bob, it's great to see you. Jeff, I love you. I'll see you guys on Monday.
God bless everybody. Amen.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market,